Blog Talk Radio.
Destiny.
Welcome everybody out there who's listening. That was a song by Kansas. It's a really cool song. It's basically talking about the freedom of the Mustangs going across the plains in the Midwest. And it's one of those things where we sit here and look at the situation of realizing. It's a realization. I like playing that song because it actually gives you an insight to really realize that that's what we're actually looking for within our own lives is freedom. Freedom comes from being yourself, and it also comes from focusing on exactly what you want and not compromising, because once you compromise, it's almost like you put shackles on yourself, and you start putting yourself in a situation where you feel like you got to do something. When in actuality, the reason I like to recommend people to meditate and to do fasting, it gives you the insights to realizing that you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. Even to the point of realizing that everything's a choice. And when you fast, you've made a choice not to eat and not to do certain things. And you still have some positive outcomes of cleansing your body by making that choice. So see, it helps you understand those things. So if you just joined in or just tuned in, I'm your host, Psychic X Journey Man. My friends call me Donnie, so if you'd like to call in and call me by my first name, that's fine with me. I consider everybody who calls in the show as a friend anyway. This is my show called the Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link, where we're just constantly bringing things out and helping people understand the spiritual connection and how it frees you, gives you freedom, all right? Wednesday night, we're actually talking about the Abundance book by John Randolph Price and also going over my journal. And it was one of those things of helping people understand the freedom that you have with your journal of just expressing yourself and putting it out there to the point where you can actually use it as a way of declaring each day how to set your day. Have a wonderful, happy day, a joyous day. But also, you could also put in there things that you're focusing on, like if it's a relationship or a flow of money, winning clients, a career, or just the idea of being thankful. Because in my journal, I do say thank you quite a bit as I write in the journal, at least 3 or 4 times after each statement. And also, we were going over the idea of when you visualize, you have to feel it. Feelization, okay? I saw that word the other day. It fits so well of feeling, not just visualizing and affirming it and that kind of stuff, but also feeling it. What would it feel like if it happened right now? Knowing that feeling, you create that feeling within yourself, which actually opens up to attract that thing, that person, that situation to you a whole lot quicker, because at that time that you're feeling it, you're on the same vibrational plane. So therefore, it's yours. Like I said, that book is the Abundance book. You'll see on the front of it also say, this thing they call the 40-day prosperity plan. Now, we're not going to go over it tonight. We might actually go over it Sunday and Wednesday. But like we always do on Fridays and Saturdays, we do nothing but readings. And we're going to get to those readings right here quick. Another book I recommend, really good, was one I just started going into again because I've had it before. And it was really cool because the idea of sitting there focusing on, when I sit there and said, after you visualize it and feel it, you should say certain things. This is a book. It's called Creative Visualization by Shante Gawin, I think it is. That's spelled S-H-A-K-T-I. That's the first name. Gawin is G-A-W-A-I-N. This book and a couple other books I've gotten to are going to go on my page on my website. And if you hear any books on the site, I mean, on the show as we're talking, all you need to do is go to my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And I have a page on my website for books. And all the books that I read and recommend, we make sure that they're all on there. So you have a reference to go to in case you didn't catch it on the show. You can go back in the archives and pick up on it too as well. But if you feel like it's easier, plus if you want to get a reading with me too, it's best to do that. Pick up the books and that kind of stuff, and then we can go over a lot of things. And you can also schedule a reading by just pushing a button, which it seems like it's easier. I love that kind of thing too myself. Being able to go somewhere, just push a button and do a reading. And you can call me, because I do private readings, like I said. The number is 740-500-8863, or you can call me through Skype, which is 740-601-9835. Those numbers again are 740-500-8863 or 706-01-9835. And PsychicXJourneyman.com. Right now we're having some really good meetings. You get that in a safety position. If you have a 40 minute session, there will be a change of attendance. If you have a 20 minute session, one of the problems is attendance. If you have a 10 minute book or angel reading, which is about the reading, sometimes it's 10 to 20 minutes. That's a one card angel card reading, which is actually $9.99. Now, if you want to sit here and look in the situation of life coaching or relationship counseling, even family counseling, or looking into you have a gifted child and you want to, you know, looking for some kind of guidance or someone to work with, we also do that well too. And those sessions are usually 90 minutes to 2 hours. And those sessions are only going for $77.77. And that's good until the end of the year. So please get in there and take care of those things. And if you know a friend of yours that might actually want to would actually benefit from reading from me too as well, we also have gift certificates too as well. So give us a call on that thing and go to the website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com, and check it out. I'm also looking for some feedback on there too. And if you want to advertise on my show, just give me a call at 740-500-8863, which is my private number, and let's sit down and talk about it. I usually recommend people to go out there and find out how much it would cost to advertise on a 2-hour show and come back with me, and I guarantee you we can probably knock it down to half, okay? So give us a call on that, 740-500-8863. If you also want to sponsor the show, we're looking for sponsorship right now too. If you like the topic and like what we're doing here and like how I deliver the whole thing, and you want to sponsor the show, just keep us going. We'd be glad to hear from you and work with you. Just give us a call, 740-500-8863. We would like to expand the show to 3 hours, and we're also looking to do shows in the morning, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I used to have a show called The Missing Spiritual Link, and I really want to do that again, where we talk about Atlantis and just a lot of things that you see on the History Channel, that kind of stuff, and give you a different kind of twist on it. All right. So, what else was I doing here? Okay, let's go back to the situation, and we're going over some things here. The visualization was I was talking about. It's like you visualize, and then you sit there and say to yourself, I now have a wonderful, happy, and whatever it is, relationship, career, money, flow, you're actually affirming that it's already happened. You're living it, okay? Like when here, I now have a wonderful, happy relationship with and whoever it is, and then go on and continue to say, we are really learning to understand each other now and always. And after you do the visualization and you feel it, get the feelings and everything in there, get the whole picture going, where you just feel like at that moment when you get that feeling going, that you're actually living it. Say this at the end of it so you can open all the doors. So maybe something you haven't thought about, you're opening the door to, where you say, this or something better now manifest for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. And every time you visualize and feel like a visualization, a whole thing, say that one phrase at the end of it every time you do it, no matter what it is. Because what thing is, at one moment, say this or something better now manifest for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. You're basically putting out there, say that I'm lying with this, but if there's something better too, or maybe I haven't got the full picture with the situation I'm even focusing on to take full benefit of the whole thing, that's a good thing to say at the end. I was also sitting there going over, and what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to read a poem real quick. It's something I wrote, and then we're going to go right into the callers, okay? So everybody in the queue, we're going to get right to you guys. And first person up is going to be 267 area code. So as soon as we get out with the poem, we're going to get right to you. All right. This poem is basically called Memories. All right. It goes like this. Memories of you so close to my heart. Your beautiful face seems like a work of art. Divine love will reunite us, you and I. You and me. I'm sorry. Divine love will reunite you and me. Back together as it should always be. For there is only one for me that is true. From the beginning of time, it has always been you. Your soft pink lips to your cute perfect toes. I thought you knew, God and the angels know. To feel your soft skin, to feel your tight embrace. One more chance to kiss you all over your face. I can't sit here knowing you're my twin flame. I know it's not me or you, but who's to blame? I hope the angels heal you of all your pain so we can hold each other again in the warm rain. So I hope you enjoyed that. And actually, I'm actually writing for this magazine, which will be coming out in January, called Bella Spree Magazine. I'll be doing a column in there under my name, Donnie. And on relationships, so check it out. If you want to find out any more about it, go to my Facebook page, Psychic X Journeyman, and you'll see on there Bella Spree Magazine. And you actually see what I look like, and you also get a little insights on the column itself and that kind of stuff. And then when it comes out, all you got to do is contact the lady who's in that website that's actually connected to Facebook, and you can actually get that magazine for yourself. I'm not really sure exactly how it works, but from what I've heard, it's a free magazine with all kinds of spiritual insights and antidotes and that kind of thing. So therefore, check it out. Let's see here. Let's go to our callers. What do you say? Like I said before, it was area code 267. We're going to get to you, and we're trying to connect you right now. So let's see here. Let's get this going. All right. Actually, we have lost her, or whoever it was. Let's go to, let's go to 678. Come on. Don't you love when you click on something and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do? All right. Here you go. 678, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. And how are you? What's your name?
I'm Sierra.
Let's turn you up a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. You've called before, correct?
I believe so. I have called before.
I'll let you go stay there. I wouldn't swear to it, but okay. So, how can we help you tonight?
Well, you know, I was speaking to my friend tonight, and, you know, she has this boyfriend in which she's, you know, she's having his child. But mm-hmm. I was just wondering, what did you see? Because I heard her say tonight, like, when she was at her mother's this past Sunday, that he was saying that, oh, she was at my house. cheated on him, and it's like he's brought me up numerous times, and it's like I just don't like that. I'm so comfortable about the situation. It makes me not have a trusting vibe from him. And then it's this other guy that I feel like she's more suitable with.
Okay. Using a situation like this, the best thing to do is not even get involved. It's just one of those things of watching someone make a decision and hopefully that they can correct the thing themselves.
Yeah.
I like looking at the situation being a friend. Of course, I think we should voice our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But after we voice our opinions, we should all sit back and go, okay, you do what you want to do. I'm just telling you what I saw, what I feel. But the idea, well, that's a trap, really, if you think about it, of putting yourself in a position and saying, I think this person's better for you, when we've actually taught everybody that if you follow your heart and do what you should do,
yeah.
you should be able to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we know who's best for us because actually we're looking for us.
Yeah.
So I understand where you're coming from. But let me ask you a question. Did you say that she was at your place cheating on this guy?
No, she wasn't. She was at her mother's place, but I guess she said he had gotten drunk, and then that's his perception, that she was actually at my place instead, cheating on him, and she said that type of thing a while ago.
Okay, so he gets drunk, and I guess that one thought still stuck in his head where he thinks it's actually happened. That can drive you crazy. I'm just saying that she had said... What you're saying is she implied to him that she, I guess maybe a he the moment thing, she said that she was going to mess around on him, and that kind of stuck in his mind, so when he was drunk, he thought it happened.
I don't think she didn't tell me she said that. She just said, I guess this guy, his name is Justin, she's been friends with him, he's in the military, and I guess he saw her talking to him or something and just got mad and kind of blew up and then was saying, you was at Sierra House cheating on me with him when she was actually at her mother's house for, like, that whole week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even seen her in a while, and it's just like, I don't like that. Like, why are you putting me in your problem,
Right. Well, I think the guy just came up with that scenario. I don't think she said anything about being anywhere. He just filled in the blanks himself, what he thinks might have happened. But, when I look at the situation of this guy, I think this guy's the reason he doesn't trust her and he's flying off the handle and doing all this craziness is because of what he's doing behind her back.
Yeah. I feel that same way, too. And then she's like, some days just feel like she loves him, some days she don't. And then it's this other guy, Justin. She's like, she could see him marrying, see her marrying him. And I'm like, well, you have to decide who you really want to be with. I don't tell her, you should be with this person. I'm like, what do you feel,
Right. Yeah, at that moment she says she saw herself marrying this guy, did you think she was a little off her freaking rocker on that one?
It's the other guy, Justin, that he thinks she's cheating with. Like, she's known him before then, but he's at the military, so she's not really physically able to be with him. But I think if she really has a chance, she would prefer to be with him. Even though tonight, she's seeing him, but not like that, just as a friend.
Yeah, but when I look at the situation, what she really needs to do is... Did you also say that this friend of yours is also carrying this guy's child?
The one that's accusing her, she's carrying his child, but... She was telling me sometimes he says it's not his child, but I guess.
Well, when you sit and look at the situation, what she needs to do is she needs to make up her mind what she wants to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like in some sense of the word, she's making excuses to stay with him because of the child.
Yeah. I feel that too.
And when you sit and look at the situation of two people getting along, you just don't really feel like that's going to change anytime soon because he doesn't see himself as having any kind of problems. It's always everybody else.
Yeah.
We all know when you start blaming people on the outside, you're not really wanting to look within yourself because you know what you're going to find.
That's true.
So you look at the situation and how it reflects. She has... No, seriously, look at the reflection here. He's a person who's not being totally honest, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know this for a fact with some of the stuff he's been doing behind her back. We don't even need the details what that is. We just know for a fact he's doing it because of his actions. He's getting drunk. I mean, just get real. All the things that are going on, that's going to continue too. So all you can see is conflict. But then we look at the situation of what it's reflecting to her. Honestly, she's not being honest with herself either and how she really feels.
Yeah.
She's staying in the situation because of what the world says. Oh, you're pregnant, so you got to hang out with this guy, and he's going to take care of you. Ooh, really? He's doing a poor. He's doing a poor job now. I think this is a really strong sign of saying, he has no intentions of changing anything because he doesn't see himself as a problem. So the problems he does have, they're not going to change any. I mean,
and I don't think so because he's actually 43 and she's 18, and I'm like, I guess he was younger over the years, maybe, but yeah, he's 25 years older than her.
Well, the age is not the problem, because if you really look at the situation, let's go for another reflection here.
Uh-huh.
You know, actually, they are. She's actually, if she would sit there and be honest with herself and be true to herself, she's actually mature wise, she's older than he is.
Mhm.
Because he's like a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. See, age is nothing. That's just a number. It says you've been on this earth for this amount of time. You know, sure, he should be a whole lot more longer than he is. He should have a better plan of what his life should be at, and he should be there. But he's right where he's supposed to be. He's right where he's at because that's just the mentality he's on right now. So when we sit here and look at the situation, what can we do to help her realize that? Nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
All we can do is... You know, as in a physical sense, there's nothing we can do. We can sit here and talk to her until we're blue in her face. But the one thing we can do in a situation like this, which is good, you know, to actually ask the angels to intervene in a friend's situation,
mm-hmm.
that's about the most loving thing you can do, and it's about the most effective thing you can do.
I do. I try to pray for her, and then it's like when talking to her, it's like she don't like to think about her feelings, so she like try to change the subject.
She has to.
Yeah.
Why do people want to avoid all that stuff? Because it's like, no matter where you go, there you are, and all those things you haven't dealt with. So, this is what happens with most women I've talked to who do what she's doing: suppressing. What happens is the body just says that's enough, and she'll have a situation where she'll probably cry all freaking day and think she's having a nervous breakdown when it's actually the body releasing all that stuff she's been suppressing.
Yeah, because she's always talking about she's getting depressed from him in those situations.
Yeah, but see, to cure her depression is to get rid of the guy.
It's true. True.
Because she doesn't have
depression. I want to be with him.
You know, ask yourself, why do you want to be with somebody who doesn't even take consideration of any kind of respect for you? Who always wants to look at everything on the outside instead of taking any kind of responsibility for himself?
Yeah.
I think when we look at the situation, I think the only thing you can really do in a situation like this is just... ask the angels to intervene and focus on, I guess it'd be one of those things of focusing on having your friend back.
Yeah.
Like the one thing you want her to do is you want her to confront her feelings. So what you do is you focus on the outcome of her actually doing that. Then you ask for the angels to come intervene to actually clear all the blocks. So therefore, it's an easy transition for her to do that. And we're actually working on both fronts here. But I'm just saying, with the situation, something you can do. You can't really do anything because every time you sit there and try to talk about it, she doesn't want to talk about it. And the reason she doesn't want to talk about it is because she knows the truth. She's not ready to face it yet.
Yeah, that's true.
And you want to sit there and go, wow, do you really want to do this? Do you really want to sit there and be with somebody? And it's like looking at someone and going, take a look at your future right now. If things stay right where they are, look at the path you've chosen. You're sitting there, have two excuses. You're pregnant, and you're saying you're in love with the guy.
Yeah.
All right? Realistically, in both parts, I think it's more of feeling sorry for somebody that if she doesn't intervene and she doesn't be with him, he'll never be with anybody. She's taking on that responsibility of saying, okay, I have to do this because I'm in love. I'm sitting there going, no, that's not how love works. Love is a nurturing, healing thing, not a pulling you down, smacking the hell out of you.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, try to get it out there. I don't know. Sometimes when we look at the situation, they are frustrating. They are frustrating situations. I mean, how can you help a friend who chooses to go down a path that's destructive?
And it's like, I didn't care at first until she told me, you know how guys are always like, hey, I don't want your friends in our business. But it's just like, I felt like he's putting in me in something that I have nothing to do with. Like, you know, she was at her mother's house. Don't say she's at my house cheating all week, you know.
Well, like I said, when you got two people who are not willing to freaking really own up to how they really feel,
yeah.
They have a tendency to play games, both of them.
That's true.
So when you sit and look at the situation and ask yourself that in the pursuit, it's like you say you make a declaration, I want my life to be happy and joyous, no matter what. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have that happiness. With a friend like this, what happens is she usually gets knocked off to the waist, to the curve. And that's because of and the decision to be happy, realistically, the reason she would not be a part of your life is because she chooses to still go down the path that she knows is destructive and not happy. She's not happy. She's just gotten so caught up in the whole thing. I think she's actually developed things how to deal with it. Because I don't think she, because really when I pick up on the situation of seeing one person and asking myself, is this person actually taking the time to ask herself, realistically, does she still feel the same way she did when she met him?
That's true.
Because I feel like if she did that and took the time to work on herself, she'd walk away.
True.
To realize that the person, because he presented himself a certain way when she met him, and now the way he acts, it's like a contradiction.
Yeah, and I guess she's kind of caught because she got a 2-bedroom apartment, which is in her name, and they both live there, and they have an extra room for, like, his children and, I guess, the baby. So she's kind of caught up in that for 6 more months.
So it's both theirs? They're both in both names here?
No, it's just in her name, but he happens to live there.
Oh, really? So she could really pull the plug on this one, huh? If she really wanted to.
Yeah, she could, but I doubt if she do, because it's just like, to me, it seems like she lets him have a lot of decisions, like the kids, like her baby, she wants to name her certain names, but she's like, well, I'm going to ask him, or even tonight when I was like, well, did you want to stay at my place, because, oh yeah, that's what I was going to tell you, I end up moving in my apartment today, and she's like, you know, I don't know, he'd probably be mad about that, or if he was here, he wouldn't even let me go type of thing.
So basically what she had done is relinquished her power to him, where he makes the decisions about what she's going to do or not do, because she doesn't want, this is a prime example of somebody who's not taking responsibility of their lives either. So we got two people here who refuse to take 100% accountability for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like he blames the world and she blames him.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true.
See, the way you look at the situation, I mean, when you look at the situation, what does the future hold for these two? You really feel like they're not really going to look at the situation for what it really is, to the point where they actually might be together for an additional 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could change, but you still, like I said before, I focus on the situation, and I feel like they're going to stay on this path for a while. And
yeah.
You see them staying together for 2 years. She's like a married man, you know. When you're dating a married man, it seems like they make all kinds of excuses. You know, wait till the kids grow up. Wait till I retire. Wait till I do this. Then I'll divorce and that kind of stuff. She's like the opposite. She's pregnant. She's in love with him. And then when the child comes, she's gonna say, "Well, the kid's here. I can't. We have to do this and this and this." I wish sometimes people would look at the situation and go, "Okay, you want to find a father for your kids?"
Yeah, she sure does, and it seems like when, you know, the baby comes, I think things will change, and I had a dream that we'd have a better house.
Wishful thinking. No, seriously, when you sit here and look at the situation of someone saying, I hope he changes, first of all, this is a definite clarification that she doesn't feel like he loves her for who she is.
Yeah.
It's like the point, like she's like, there's some things about her she just, I don't know, it's just two people not being honest.
True.
Why would you, first of all, you know, what's the point of writing out a list of the person you want to be with when the very first thing you want him to do is change to be that person?
Yeah.
Not realizing.
I wish he changed for me.
And now she's self-centered. Okay, you know, seriously, look at the situation. Okay, he's going to change for me. And ask yourself, you know, I've asked this question to a couple of them when they say, well, I'm really good for him. And I ask them, what makes you think that? I mean, the guy screwed up. You attracted him, pretty much. There's something screwed up with you, too. You know?
Yeah.
But it's the idea of asking that question and saying, okay, what makes you think that he's going to change for you? What about you and the connection you have makes you think he's going to change? Because
yeah.
I really don't, I don't see no basis for that conversation. I really don't. And then look at him now. You know, it seems like as this progresses forward, the statement itself doesn't even make any sense because he seems to keep getting worse. And I think what's going on here is the ideal as we go forward with this relationship is a man who is who can't play and keep up this image. So slowly we're starting to see who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
So in some sense she's right, he's changing, but in the opposite direction. Because
mm-hmm.
I get an impression after the child's born, I get the impression that she may tell everybody she's with him, but you never see him. Or you just feel
mm-hmm.
like it's almost like he's really not going to be there.
Well,
I mean, is he really there now?
Like most of the time, I know she said usually he'd probably be out all day and she's pretty much at home and he'd probably come in 1:30, sometimes I guess 3.
Well, I'm just saying with the situation I see here with your friend, she doesn't love herself. She doesn't unconditionally love herself to the point where she is attracted to somebody who treats her the way she treats herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not honest with herself either and how she feels and what she wants. She's settling. You know, here's this guy comes along and some, he gives her some attention and that kind of stuff, and she's content with the attention she gets. And she's also gotten to the point where, you know, he's given the attention when they first got together, and now she's hoping that he will change and give that attention back to her, not realizing he is changing, but he's changing back into who he really is. Because what he told, the person he presented to her was a fabrication.
Mm-hmm.
Still in the process. I've seen this before where they go, I wish he would just change back to who he used to be. And I'm sitting there going, no, he's actually who he is now. That was just something he thought that you would like. So he presented that to you.
Yeah. I
haven't
thought about things like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, when you look at the situation, the only thing that can really change here is a person coming to a realization and realize she has to walk away from it for right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I just hope everything is better for her. And then it's like with this Justin guy, you know, he's in the military. Since he's always gone, he's more like, you know, like she can talk to other people type of thing. But she really, really likes him. I think he really, really likes her because he just got back in town. And it's like every time he gets in town, he calls her, you know, hey, come see her or take her out or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes that, but I think she still kind of wants to be with the guy she's with now.
Hmm. Well, like you said before, I mean, the only thing you can do is not allow yourself to get caught up in the whole thing to the point where she does say certain things and she doesn't listen. Sometimes
yeah.
You gotta sit there and be true to yourself too as well. Okay, I feel like I'm being disrespected because she's not at least listening to what I got to say, and do what you got to do. Because if you see something that's going to happen, which is pretty, it's actually pretty clear exactly what's going to happen here. It's just that she refuses to see it. That's why she doesn't want to talk about it. The more you talk about it, the more she sees it too.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just not going to go there until she's actually ready to listen. There's nothing you can do about it. Sure, you can, I guess in some sense of the word, I would sit there and if you can deal with it and listen when she does, you know, when she talks about whatever and try to be just a person that just listening and vent off the whole thing. Because usually I get depression with her. It's like she's not looking for anybody to solve her problem. She doesn't want to talk about it. But there are some times where she wants to vent. So in those situations, the best thing you can do is just listen and just say, hey, you know, what do you think you want to do here? I mean, you want to continue. And try not to voice your opinion, because that's when you start voicing your opinion, it seems like, okay, I got to go. The more you can put yourself in a position of listening and letting her vent, the more you bring her closer to having the realization for her to see it herself. She has to hear it, and she has to see it. So just let her go off and just say, well, that's nice. They go, no, it's not. You know, I sit there and did this one time when a lady called me up and she's like, I have this boyfriend who's a drug addict. He drinks and he smacks at me all the time. And I was like, well, what are you still with him for? And she goes, well, I need a father for my kids. So I'm sitting there going, I just kind of looked at it. I sit there and go, you know something? You're right. I wish I had a father just like this. He's a great guy. Great. And all of a sudden she came back and said, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here, don't I? I said, yes, you do. As soon as I sit there and say he's one of the greatest men in the world, one of the greatest guys I've ever seen, I wish I had a father just like this. All of a sudden, she's like, what?
Maybe I need to try that.
I mean, it was just so funny how she came back and she goes, oh, I got to get out of here, don't I? Yes, you do. Pack up that crap and hit the road.
But I think another thing she does sometimes that probably make her comfortable, like sometimes she ends up comparing herself, I guess, to me and my boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
Like, you know, hey, you know how, what's the face, or I could bring up something, like I could be like, well, my boyfriend called me today and texted. She's like, yeah, you know, Habib does that type of thing.
Yeah, he does. Sure, he does.
Yeah.
Hey, last time that guy called you, all he was calling for is because he couldn't get enough money for a six-pack. Come on, get real. But, I know what you're saying. It's like they're jumping on the bandwagon because things are good. Things are going good for you.
Yeah.
So they have to portray that, too, to you. Say, everything's going good. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, it's a bad thing, but it's like sometimes everybody has their own different situation, even though they might be similar, you know. It could be like, you know, hey, me and my boyfriend, we got into it, and this how it ended. She might be like, yeah, that's how it is with me and, you know, her and her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we all know the true story, so I'm the same. Sometimes with a situation, it's just the idea of reinforcing it and say, yes, that's great he does that. Just let him hear it, you know. I think after they hear it a couple of times and going, but that's not the way it is, really, it's not. But this person believes me.
I just got to let people be, but I just know it's like all of my friends that I have, it's like they have a lot of problems that are fixable. Like my best friend, well, sometimes I just feel like sometimes I don't want to be friends with her because I guess she kind of gets stressed out. You might not hear from her. But it's like she could be in the car with me and all these guys would just be texting her. It's like her finger and eyes are glued to the phone. I'm like, anything a guy tell you, you'll believe. Like, it's totally, I say, you're just man crazy. But, you know, it's like I try to call her, text her sometimes. It may not even be nothing big, not really to conversate or something. It's like, you won't get up.
Right.
Whatever. I don't have time for that. Hey, what is your site?
What's that? I'm sorry.
I was saying, what is your site?
What is my Skype?
Your site. S-I-T-E.
On my website?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you want the address. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, it's www.psychicxjourneyman.com.
Oh, maybe I can just pull it off. I think I can just... No, I can get to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually told a couple of people, if you go to the my Blog Talk Radio show page, the address is on there, too. You just click on it, take you right to the website.
I think that's how I got to. I'm going to donate to you.
Mm-hmm.
On it now. Okay, I'm going to do that for you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, and if you get a chance, you know, give us a call back and try to get your friend to call in. Maybe we can help her out, too.
Okay.
Or try to get, you know, try to maybe talk her into saying, well, get a reading or something. You know, sometimes the idea of hearing it from somebody else that has no investment in this whole thing that she might actually listen to.
Yeah. I tried doing that with them all. Some of them think I'm crazy, though.
Maybe so, but a lot of people who think you're crazy still have the curiosity.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't thought about that.
Because I've always gotten people like that. I don't believe in this stuff, but could you answer a question for me? I'm like, are you serious? Okay, sure. Yeah. Next thing you know, you carried on this conversation for 20 minutes, and next thing they're coming to you to get a reading. You're like, okay, this is a person that didn't believe in this stuff. And you'd be amazed that people start hearing things that are so real that they have a tendency to start thinking about it in a different sense. I guess it's just the idea of going to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So try that.
Okay.
Alrighty?
I will try that.
Alright.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a good night, and thank you for calling in, and happy holidays, okay?
You too.
Bye-bye now. Happy holiday. Let's see here. We got some callers in here, and I'm sometimes with the situation of actually looking in the queue and wondering who actually wants to come on because they don't have the same thing they used to have, where we used to have someone push one, and then you'd have a hand come up, and now we just have still a work in progress. So if whoever's in the queue right now who actually wants to get on the show... Actually, if you haven't pushed one, push one. Let me see what happens. Maybe we'll see something pop up and we'll know exactly what happens when someone wants to get on the show and they push one. I guess that works. So let's check out some stuff here. Let's go to here. Eric. Okay, that sucked. Hello? Okay, let's try this.
Okay.
I was actually, I was looking at the queue, and there was actually an error code 904. 904. I wasn't sure if you wanted to get on the show or not, but I thought I'd check with you to see if you did, since this new studio queue thing is kind of still trying to figure out what it means when someone pushes a 1 to be on the show. So if you're 904, you're actually on the show. You're on the air. So welcome. To help you understand, we have an area code 904, and the first three numbers of your phone number is actually 325. We won't go any further than that. So if that's you, and you can hear me, welcome to the show. How are you? All right, I mean, that's all right. Let's go to okay, 904. area code. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hello, I was saying hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I see, dear. We actually have two people in the queue with the area code 904.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you said my number, but I was saying hello, but you wasn't hearing me.
Okay, so the first three numbers of your phone number are 325? Or 235?
235.
Okay, because I was actually saying 325.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
I thought you said 235.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I was kind of, because I actually had to look at this thing, because I had one night where someone called in, and their number was in the queue four times. It was the exact same number. I'm like, I don't know how that happened.
Okay.
That's just weird. That's the moon and the Mercury going retrograde, just throwing everything off where you got that three or four numbers of the same one in there. It's kind of crazy, huh? So how
yeah.
What's your name, sweetie?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah. And where are you calling from, Sarah? Florida, right?
Correct.
Jacksonville?
Actually, yes.
I know. I used to live in Jacksonville. That's how I know the area code 904.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used to live down on Phillips Highway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Phillips Highway goes a long way.
Yes, it does. I used to hate that road because I'd be driving down through there. It's so flat. I would see that. I said, there's the light, and it would turn red five times before I get there.
Right, right. Right. Your first name is Donnie, right?
Donnie, yes.
Yes. Okay. All right.
I was actually in Florida at the time. This is like the early 90s, where they used to have the sniper on 295.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so that's, and I was kind of funny. I was freaking out because they started putting the fences around the bridges. And I'm like, I've been everywhere in the country, and they always have those kind of fences around the bridges. Why Florida didn't, I don't know.
Well,
or I should say Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's just cheap. And then they come out there and say, we're going to find this sniper. So now we have the National Guard out in the woods watching them. So they're going, well, they're going to disappear now.
Right, right.
Thank you for the heads up. And I thought what was so funny about it was there was one particular one, I remember this, where a guy, we saw him on the news. He had reported that the sniper had shot his window out of the back of his van. And then two hours later, we find out he had borrowed this van from his father, and he had actually knocked the back window out at a party.
No.
But he was blaming it on the sniper. So next thing you know, he was up for, what would they call that when you do that? He called the cops. And
yeah.
The cops were like, okay, you're going to jail for a while for
lying.
Yeah, falsification and stuff. And then there was another guy who did the same thing. He tried to commit suicide by running his truck into one of the bridges, one of the awning underneath the bridge. And he wasn't successful at his suicide attempt. So he sat there and did the same thing. He called the cops. He covered it all up to say the sniper shot at him. That's why he ran into the bridge. And then 2 hours later, he's getting arrested for falsification, going to jail too. I was like,
right.
This is pretty bad when you have a sniper who's doing some real serious damage, but people are also taking advantage of it to keep getting in trouble.
Right, right.
Only in Florida, right?
Only in Florida, Jacksonville specifically.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like we used to go up 295, and I don't know if they still have the drawbridge there, but I used to get irritated when that thing would go up, and you'd sit there trying to get to the beach.
No, they do not. You have to come through.
Oh, really?
It is beautiful. They just change, like 95, you go a different way than you go 10. So, you know, if you're a newcomer, it wouldn't bother you, but if you're somebody who lived here, and you're driving, you got to be like in the left lane to go 95, loop around, and in the right lane to go 10.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like, why did y'all do that?
I know, we used to go out there, and we'd sit there and get just out there and just in time to get stuck with that bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the drawbridge is gone.
That's good. I bet that one guy's ticked off because he needs
Yeah, you'll have to come through. You'll get lost.
Oh, well. And then they had that, that was the most unique bridge that they had downtown. The one that used to go straight up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was actually over the river.
Right, the main bridge.
The whole middle just goes straight up. Yeah, we were down there because I guess when the bridge goes up, these metal hooks come out, so you can't drive off the bridge.
Right.
Well, one day what happened was, you know, rush hour and stuff, the bridge goes up, but the hooks didn't come up. See what the hooks are for is because it's like an optical illusion. If you didn't see the hooks, you just keep driving because you can't really tell that it's not there or not. It's because it's so flat down in Florida.
Right.
And this guy had a nice little sports car. Actually, what happened, he drove off the bridge, and it was the last time everybody ever saw him. I think it was like in a 3-week or 4-week process of finding him, and he was
right.
Like, way down there, and they were kind of surprised with the situation too, because usually when people go in the river, you don't have the luxury of actually finding them.
Right.
That's something about Florida. You got all that freaking animal life down there, and as soon as someone hits the water, lunch. So, believe me, I used to work for a pest control company down there, and I went down one of those housing projects with the real fancy houses close to the golf courses and stuff.
Right.
And those waterways come in. And I was spraying some lady's yard. I was spraying the outside, doing the outside service. I come walking around, and there's this 4-foot crocodile.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. He flopped up there, and I'm like, thank God he went into the water. And I was like, only in Florida, man. And I was like freaking out because it was just so freaking quiet. You know, there's a couple, you know, there's places down there where it's just so freaking quiet. All of a sudden, and I've seen those suckers when they... If they do want to chase you, how they come up on their legs, and they're fast.
Very fast.
Yeah, so I was like, thank goodness, maybe it's because I had the wand in my hand to spray in the yard and stuff, but it did make me think about those things. So from that point on, I was always kind of like real cautious as I'm walking around people's houses because you never know.
Right.
That, wasn't it Jacksonville was where they found that 22-foot python under someone's house?
Yes.
And they were sitting there noticing that the animal life around there were disappearing.
Uh-huh.
And they said this thing was so big, it could have eaten a small child.
Right.
But it was, like, so quiet because it was, like, the dogs disappeared, the cats disappeared.
Okay.
And I think Florida also has raccoons, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens. You've ever seen a raccoon get in one of those situations, they scream. They got this weird, really terrible. I live in Colorado. We had raccoons around where we was at. And when they have this, if they're attacked, they scream. They make this weird screaming noise. It sounds terrible. So, Sarah, I'm sorry if we kind of like going off a little bit, but I'm just, you know, I haven't talked to anybody since I left Florida that I knew from Jacksonville.
Well, you must come back. I mean, it is so totally different with the roads and everything, with the way they've made overpasses, like at Kernan and Atlantic, you go over now.
Well, that's cool because it used to be where Atlantic and Boulevard actually went down toward Jackson Beach, and they were actually connected with 3rd Street, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that bridge at Jackson Beach is no longer a drawbridge either.
Ooh, that's even better.
Okay.
Makes it a whole lot easier trip to the beach, I'm telling you.
I was
fascinated when I first went down there that you could actually, at that time, you could actually pay a buck to go to Jack's Beach, which is like 18 miles from town.
Right.
Because people don't realize Jacksonville is a big, it's like the fifth biggest city land-wise.
Okay, and I thought it was more like the first.
Well, I'm just saying, last time I checked, it was the fifth biggest city in the world, landmass.
Yeah, because, you know, you can drive for 40 minutes and still be in Duval County.
Yeah, because I used to get crazy with that stuff, working for a pest control company. And this company was like, you need to be at this person's house in 20 minutes. I said, well, it takes 35 minutes to get there.
Right.
Good luck on that one. I was always speeding around, this, that, and the other. And one time I was down, you come off the highway, and they have these off ramps. And they're all, the way they're designed, they have a tendency to go around a little bit. So you always have a car that pulls up, and then you're behind them. Where you can actually, if you're not watching, and you're watching the traffic, where you sit, you think that, you just assume there's nobody in front of you.
Right.
And I did that one day. I would come down off the ramp, and I had a Oldsmobile, a big Oldsmobile. And this guy, I didn't realize it, I just assumed... When traffic cleared, he pulled off. Well, he didn't. And I hit this guy right in the ass. Boom! I'm sitting there going, oh, no. And what happened was, the guy gets out of the car, right? And this guy, and it was a black guy, and he was six. He must have been 6'7". I said, he got out of the car, and he comes getting taller and taller and taller. I was like, oh, shit. You know, that's what I was saying. I was like, oh, shit. But see, I learned from that experience. Never assume anything, because this guy gets out of the car. He's 6'7". He's one of the nicest guys in the world. He says, you see my bumper? It's all messed up in the back of my car. I said, yeah. He said, that was like that before you hit me. So don't even worry about it. And then you always have this little sidekick guy. He had this black guy was like 5 feet, who was his friend. He's sitting there just going off of it. You need to sit there and take his license. You need to do this. And he just looked at him and said, shut up and get back in the car. And he looked at me and he's like, don't worry about it. He said, you know, crap like this happens all the time. You're not the first one, so don't even worry about it. He says, my car was like this. And he drove off. I'm like, I always tell people, positive thinking. I'm thinking, it's got to be a better way, right? And all of a sudden, it just played itself out pretty good.
Okay.
But I was sitting talking about some things there because Jacksonville and the traffic and that kind of stuff. I think I have never had an accident until I went to Jacksonville. And I had in 2 weeks, I had three of them.
So, no.
I was heading down the highway, and this one guy decided to just, we're right in the middle of the freaking highway, and he just decides to stop. And I had this pest control truck. I mean, all you heard was, I saw him, he locked him up, I locked him up. And you know how it goes when you lock him up. It seemed like you pick up speed, and I slammed into this guy. Bam! He was another guy. He gets out of the car, and he's like, man, don't worry about it. He says, my fault. I'm really sorry. He was pretty nervous, too, and he was, I don't know what he was doing, but he wanted to get out of there.
Okay.
Yeah, I said, look to him, I said, well, if you got to go, see you later.
Okay.
Yeah, and then here's another accident I had. It was like right after that. I was leaving the company I worked for, and I was heading down that first street. It was up there on, when you're downtown, and there was a lot of these abandoned houses, big houses, that they turn them into apartments and stuff. Like on 25th and 20, I think it was like from 22nd to 25th Street.
Like in Springfield area?
Yeah, exactly, in Springfield area. We were down by this place called, God, what was that place? It was a pest control company. It was actually a smaller, it was like a privately owned pest control company. I can't remember the guy's name now. It's good. I was heading up that, it was like a lot of one-way streets down there too, one way. So I zipped up through there because I was late. I zipped up through there. I stopped at the stop sign, and all of a sudden I hear this big boom. Bam! Some old dude on a freaking one of those big bikes with the big wheels slammed into my truck, right? Well, one of the other guys come flying up through there, and he looked at me, and he said, don't worry, man, I seen the whole thing. The guy hit you. And you can see it, too, because I was sitting there, and you can see all the scratches on the side of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Well, my boss got mad about the whole thing, and he basically he said, we have to let you go because, you know, you hit this guy. The guy came down. He said, I had to pay this guy a bunch of money. I was like, well, that's your fault. I said, look at the truck. All the scratches are on the side. So how could I have hit him? I guess I turned into him. Bam. But I said I was coming down a straight street. I stopped at the stop sign. I said, this guy slammed into my freaking truck. And I saw his hands reach up to get up. And his front wheel, this is another thing, too. His front wheel was buckled like, looked like the arches of McDonald's. I said, the only way you get that kind of thing is he hit something. Nobody hit him.
Right. Right.
And the guy just fired me anyway. I'm just like, you know something? It's kind of freaking when people are scared of the guy. He says, that guy could sue me. So he paid him. I said, well, good. You gave him gave him $120 and get his bike fixed. And I guarantee you, from the guy I saw, he has no intentions of fixing that bike. But he's going to be drunk for a couple of weeks. I guarantee you that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So, Sarah, let's get to you and say, hey, what's up? And how can we help you tonight?
I forgot.
Oh, you forgot. It's like a little sociable, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. No, Jacksonville is a really nice place because working for a pest control company. I actually got to see some really nice places. Now, I could not understand why would someone live on a golf course? We went down this one lady, and they were very wealthy people, right? And you're thinking,
right.
Very wealthy, why would you live on a golf course? The guy said, well, this is a very good area, and there's it's like a, what do you call that, position. That's what I can say. Because this one lady said she never saw her husband because he's always working all the time. And she goes, oh, when they send a golf ball through my freaking front window, oh, this place is great. They come down and fix it, replace it, no cost at all. I said, yeah, but why would you want to put yourself in the firing zone, you know?
Okay.
Well, you got golf balls coming to your house. And she had just had a baby, and she had some very small children.
Mm.
I personally would not. I would have not done that.
I mean, if you're going to do it, you better get those double-pane windows. Maybe your window might stand a chance.
I know. And you think I'd replace it with some plexiglass or something.
Yeah. You would think.
Yeah, and I was like, smash. Okay, great. They replace it. But that wasn't my point. I was there looking at the situation going.
But suppose you're outside and a golf ball comes and hits you. You know,
I was watching. But there were some nice places on the other side of town because, you know, we got the bridges, the Anacostia Bridge. What was that one bridge? I used to sit there and look at it. It was kind of yellowish. And that one's kind of like an arch. I remember when I was down there, they had some days where it was in the 30s, it snowed, and it got icy. And those bridges, you know what I'm talking about? When you go across it, it's like a screen. So you can actually see the river.
Right. Well, that bridge doesn't look like that anymore. They built that one over, too.
Oh, okay. Because you could see those little squares that you could see down the river, and it was all metal.
Uh-huh.
So when it rained or something and it froze, that was like a skating rink. And even the Anacostia.
Yeah.
The Anacostia, do you know if you can hit the middle of that sucker? When
you
coasted down the other side, I hit about 50. About 50 or 60 miles per hour, just putting a neutral and coasting down that sucker, because it's like a, excuse me, it's like a little hill, well, a big hill.
Right.
I never realized it was that. When we were down there, I guess a couple people used to salt that bridge out and jump off that one side.
Hmm.
One lady decided to commit suicide, and she thought she was going to hit the river.
Uh-huh.
She didn't. She had a landmass.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it kind of killed her thing. I think she was actually in the process of not really committing suicide, but she was wanting attention from her husband.
Right.
So she felt she'd jump off in the water, and then, you know, they'd rescue her and that kind of stuff. No, she had, you know, you see how high that bridge is. She hit the ground.
Right.
I was like, I just have a funny feeling about that one. She wasn't really looking to hit anything, and
right.
She did. So that's why they, you know, you shouldn't. Fear will put you in situations of getting you in the predicaments like that. Well, we know it.
Hmm.
Well, we're going to get out of that one. Cemetery time.
Okay. And the husband
great.
Got a new wife.
Exactly. He's sitting there going, okay, I guess we'll have to, she jumps off the bridge, and he goes, I guess I don't have to tell her about the mistress. I'll just marry her now.
Or a big insurance policy.
Exactly. Because some people do have insurance policy on people with no foul play.
Right.
It just happens, you know.
Right.
And looking at the whole situation, she just played right into his hands, and he didn't have to do anything but sit back and let her do it, you know. And then he finds out later on, and plus he didn't do anything about it in the first place. She did what she did because of the lack of attention she was getting. No foul play, no like that. Because we went down there, we saw the car, they taped it off and stuff. Sometimes I look at those situations and I just don't understand the idea of what people want to check out like that. I mean, I've never been in a situation where I said, well, today I'm going to kill myself. I'm done.
Okay.
You know, it's just the idea. I don't understand it. How you could, and I'm not, it's like one of the things, everybody I've ever talked to, ever dealt with these situations who do those kind of things, it's just an attention getter. And most people who really seriously commit suicide, they don't tell anybody. They just do it. And then you find a note later on.
Right. Or, you know.
Go ahead.
They, you know, have tendencies, you know, that suicidals have, giving their things away or, you know, saying certain things, but they do get the job done.
Heck yeah. People don't like coming to me. That's the truth. I had a guy call me one time and say he was going to commit suicide because he was even in love with this girl, and the girl's family were into this arranged marriage kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And they didn't want him marrying her. So They basically put a lot of pressure on her to break up with him, and she did. He calls me up, and he said, I'm going to kill myself because I think, you know, I don't approve all this stuff going on, that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, let me give you some advice. He goes, what's that? I said, go ahead and do it. But I said, I want to tell you something. I'm picking something up here really good for you. And he goes, what's that? I said, she's coming back. But guess what? You're dead. So he's like, I never thought about that. Yeah, you never thought about her actually coming back. You're thinking from what you see now, you're feeding into that illusion. You don't realize the pressure that her parents are putting on her are actually going to push her back to you because of her shame. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's like we were telling people, you know, you think this job is easy. That was one scenario where I was able to feed into the whole thing and help this guy realize that he didn't want to go that route. It was premature, and what he wanted was going to happen as long as he stayed here.
Right.
But on the other hand, it was the same night, too. This lady calls me up and said, I want you to tell me something good about myself. And tell me something good. Just tell me something good so I won't kill myself. I thought she was joking, so I said, well, thank you. No pressure there. And then she come back and said, no, I'm serious. She goes, I have a syringe of morphine right here, and if you don't tell me something good, I'm going to take it and kill myself. I'm sitting there going, this is crazy. I said, I sit here and look at this situation. I said, what you're doing is you're feeding into someone else's expectations of what they say you should be. And I said, you don't have to do that at all. You just be yourself. You know, this is one person's opinion. And she goes, well, I have to live up to that person's expectations because if I don't, I'm not a good person. So therefore, I'm going to kill myself. Well, see, what happened was she had already taken the morphine before she called me, and I sensed that, and I told her, you already did this. You already did this. And I said, why did you call me for if you were going to do this thing anyway? And she said, which to this day has kind of baffled me because the answer she gave me was, I called the last person I really wanted to talk to. I said, why was I picked? I told her flat out. I just sat there and went into the whole thing and told her flat out, you know, expectations and people putting on people on these pedestals and stuff like that. It's just a way of really, right off the bat, it makes a relationship unbalanced because one's higher than the other. And it's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be two people, as in teamwork, working together. And I was just so appalled that this guy would actually put this kind of pressure on her. But the more you talked about it, the more I tried to talk to her, it was more of her own expectations she'd put on herself to live up to those things too. So we could actually look at both of them, you know, imposer and someone's trying to live up to no matter what.
So you should be a marriage counselor or a relationship counselor.
Oh, I am. Yeah, if you actually go on my website, you'll see that I actually do life coaching and relationship counseling, and I also work with smaller children who are very gifted to help parents who have those kind of children to know what to do. Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I do all that stuff. It's just, I think that's why I started doing that. It was like, okay, because I actually called a friend of mine and said, okay, you got to tell me something. I don't care if you lie to me and tell me this lady was found and she didn't die. And she's like, she didn't. She said if she was really going to commit suicide, she would never call you. She would just have done it. And now that I've gone, you know, I've gone so far and finally got that information too as myself with the realizations I've gotten, that I knew that too. But that was a hard, you know, there was some nights you'd have people call you up and it was just so hard to talk to them and convince. I had a guy call me up and said that the doctor had given him a diagnosis that he had AIDS. I said, you need to go to somebody else, man, because I just don't see that. And he said, well, I will. He said, I will tell you this. He said, I have a very strong immune system, and every time something happens, the flu or whatever, I heal from. I had pneumonia. I healed from it. No problems at all. Just really quickly, it happened. But he said, the doctor told me he had AIDS, and plus his immune system crashed. I said, that's impossible to have a crashed immune system, to have AIDS, and actually, realistically, on the surface, all this stuff. He's healing. There's no signs of nothing. There's no, I could not pick up on any kind of incidences or situations that he put himself into to even get AIDS. He had never gone down that road.
Uh-huh.
And I know, we know for a fact that it's, you know, if he just, if he had sex with a girl who had AIDS, it's hard to get AIDS from a person, a woman. It's hard for a guy to get AIDS from a woman. Because there's no, see, a woman can get AIDS from a guy because of the way we have sex.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually entering her body. But a man, mm-hmm. you don't, unless it's a homosexual act.
Right.
Well, there's a violent, well, maybe we shouldn't say a violation. Maybe people, gay people freaking out, but I'm just saying, what's the situation, you know? There's that kind of thing going on. And I was sitting there telling this guy, I wasn't trying to be logical about it either. It's just, so, you know, when you pick things up from people, it's hard to sit there and come across and say, well, this is what I see. And they're like, well, this guy says I got AIDS and the whole thing like that. I was like, what can I say to this person to even go get a second opinion or a third opinion, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
he was just taking it so hard to the point where he was just, was, I guess it's just the word AIDS. It made him feel like, well, I got to sit there and feed into this because it's got to be. You know, this just happened to anybody, but, you know, we also look at the situation of a person who had a very low self-esteem at the time, too. So he was
mm-hmm.
he was willing to listen to anybody and believe everything they said.
Mm-hmm.
So
but,
you're,
you know,
like,
something crucial, you know, you always get a second opinion or maybe even a third if necessary.
I've got to the point right now where I say, okay, angels, do I have anything wrong with me? Nope. Hey, where you going? You know? And I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, you always believe your angels on everything that happens? I said, why shouldn't I believe them? Every time I've gotten any kind of information or something like that, and listen and follow through with it, my life always got better. So why not listen to the information for verbatim? Because the source is coming from, first of all, there's no expectations. There's no they don't have an agenda where they have to tell you anything. You know, they don't have an agenda. That's the whole thing. Most people, you know, a lot of people we talk to have a purpose why they do what they do. Even some people out there I see doing psychic work, they have an agenda where they will sit there and they're mind readers where they can actually tap into you and see what's going on with your life, and they can either play on it or they can help you to embrace it. They have a choice.
Right.
But they're not really picking up information, as in information and doing the work and giving you advice on how to utilize the information that's coming through and that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying the ones that I've actually worked with, well, I know for a fact they don't. But it kind of freaks you out when you see people who actually feed into the whole thing without even checking it out. I've had a lot of spiritual books I've read where it says, this is my opinion, this is what I feel on this situation. But if it's something and you question it, also listen to you. Listen to yourself,
right.
Listen to your intuition.
Right.
And so, okay, this doesn't resonate with me. It may be true.
Right.
But it might not resonate with you because of the situation. It just doesn't fit. I mean, if you sort of look at the situation like we tell everybody, your reality could be different than someone else's reality.
Right.
Reality is not a mutant. We look at people as individuals. So there's no such thing as a universal reality. What is it? That's what Joe said it was. I'm like, that's Joe's perception. You can change. You can change it. It's like, we know for a fact that, I mean, personally, when I've seen things myself, people will sit here and tell you and say, hey, this is what's going on, and you can't do this because this happens and that happens, or the world says this. Well, that's their perception. I like to use other people's perceptions to sit there and to prove them wrong and say, well, that's what I do. I had a situation where I was living in Tennessee, and I had my neighbor who had wrecked his car, and all he kept on talking about was, I can't work. I can't have a job unless I have a car. So what I did was I hitchhiked in town, got a job where he used to work at, and kept it for 3 months. And I never had
mm-hmm.
a vehicle. I never had a vehicle. I would walk to the highway. I love my little walk to the highway. It was like a 20-minute walk.
Uh-huh.
It was like my way of conversing and talking to God and the angels and stuff. And I would get there. I would get to the highway, and I would say, okay, God, I need a ride to work. And sure enough, I wouldn't be out there long at all where someone would pick me up, and I would always be 10 minutes early for work. Every time.
Right.
I was never late. There was one particular truck. I remember this. Every Thursday, this truck would pull over, and he had a cab on the back of his truck. He would just pull over. He had tinted windows. He would pull over, and I said, okay. It's like 6 o'clock in the freaking morning. And this guy would just pull over. So I said, you know, it's the same truck. I would just, something, you know, I got that intuitional thing going on. They said, just get in the back of the truck. So I would, it was funny, too. I'd get in the back of the truck. This truck would take me to work. It'd pull in front of my work. And I would get out of it, and he'd drive off. This went on for like 3 or 4 months. And eventually, he stopped one day to pick me up on a Thursday, and he finally rolled his window down. He said, oh, by the way, since we've been doing this for so long, I thought I'd introduce myself.
Uh-huh.
And I tell everybody, if you can get your, I say, I guarantee if you start being that much into listening to your intuition and your guides and angels, those things can happen to you as well. I don't know what it was about the whole thing. I trusted the whole thing. I just trusted it and just jumped in that truck every time. And then I always tell people, you know, when things like it happen, look for signs too. There will always be something to confirm exactly what it's all about. And I noticed that almost all the people who picked me up to take me to work were always playing gospel music or some kind of church music.
Right.
Every time. There was one particular guy who used to take me to work, and his work was actually in the opposite direction.
Mm.
So when we sit here and look at the situation, and it's like telling everybody, okay, focus on the outcome, which is I need to get to work on time, and then let the universe and God do the rest. You'd be amazed exactly what happened, because, I mean, some of the things that happened down in Tennessee were just really eye-openers. I mean, I remember when I opened and started doing business out of my house, I needed to get a sign. I went down to the sign shop, and I guess you would say my intuition just said, just go get the sign, sit down with the lady, get it all fixed and everything done. She'll sit there and tell you that you can't have your sign. We'll finish it up for you. You can't have it until you pay for it, because my husband is a person who doesn't do that kind of stuff. You have to pay for it before you get it, right? So I sit there, and, well, sure enough, I followed through, did the whole freaking thing. We had this sign all made up. It was like a 5x6 sign. I mean, it's a huge sign. And we had it made up just the way I wanted to. I mean, it had a big old circle of the zodiac signs. It had my name and the phone number and everything, and it fit right perfectly on the front of my house. What was so funny about it, this is a guy who doesn't give things, and then you pay him for them. You have to give him the money before you get them, right?
Right.
So I went in there in town. She showed me the sign. I basically went over and said, yes, it's done correctly. I said, for the company I was working for, I said, my money's late, but I have it. It's $100 for the sign. And she goes, okay, when you get it, you give it to us. And I think I even said something to her about it. And she goes, well, my husband usually doesn't do that. So just get the money, and as soon as you get that money, we'll bring it right out to you. Well, the next day, this guy pulls out my front yard, pulls in the driveway. And I looked, and he comes up with a sign. I'm sitting there going, I said, I told your wife that I wouldn't be getting the money for like 2 days. And I still haven't got it yet. And the guy just sits there and hands it to me. That's okay, man. When you get the money, give it to me. And he left. So it's like, if we really believe and feed into, as people call it, their reality, their perception, that perception becomes a part of our lives, and it becomes our perception. But if we hang on to our perception, that's when the miracles happen, and started seeing these things correctly. I couldn't believe it. And then this is the same guy too that end up. I was talking to his wife one day about, I have no problem hitchhiking in town, and sometimes I have to walk a lot before I get a ride and that kind of stuff, and sometimes I don't. And she goes, so what you're saying is if you had some kind of vehicle, even if it was just a 10-speed, it'd make your life a little easier, right? I said, yeah. She looked at me and says, my husband has this 10-speed he hasn't used. Let me ask him about it. See if he'll, you know, maybe he'll give it to you. A week later, I was riding that bike. Back
my, my, my.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was telling people, I don't sit there and tell people that you can manifest anything you want to, as in a way of just putting it out there and that kind of stuff, because I do see a lot of books who talk about certain things and procedures and that kind of stuff, but if you sit there and check out their lives, it doesn't reflect in their lives. It's just a lot of information. So you kind of makes you wonder when you see that kind of stuff, okay, they're saying this works and this works, but it doesn't work for them.
Right.
So I sit there and look at the techniques and realize what happens with a lot of books is people don't realize, forget if it helps, if it really resonates with them or not. If it crosses your path, take the information, maybe in the process of them giving out the information, maybe simply they're just not utilizing it or don't think they need to, but they feel like the world needs to hear it.
Right.
Information comes through so many avenues that I've actually sort of looked at the situation and realized a lot of this stuff until you actually get to the point of really knowing it very well where you can actually, you know, basically tweak it to where it's more personal to you before it actually starts working.
You know, if you said a mouthful.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I mean that's you know, I mean, what you're saying is, you know, so true. You know, it's kind of like negative energy or what people are saying with their mouths, and they don't understand why they don't have what they think they ought to have.
That's it too, and it's one of those things of trying to help people understand one thing about manifestation too. If it doesn't happen, it might say to you that what you're focusing on, go back and look at it again. Analyze the situation. Ask yourself, is this something you really want, or is it something you think you should have? When you go back to the idea, okay, what do you want? You know, you sit there, look at the situation, you meet somebody. When you put down the little list, I want a girl with long hair, you know, blue eyes and that kind of stuff, and this girl comes along and she's got green eyes and she's got brown hair. That's actually something you're settling for, but you should also look at the situation and see what happens, because it might actually, in the process of crossing paths, go with the flow. I say always go with the flow and be totally honest and be yourself and see what happens. And if it does seem to happen, it's one of those things we find out that the universe is giving us something that's good for us.
Right.
What's in our best interest, in the best interest of the person you just met, to realize that I'm looking for my twin flame. Well, you think it's Joe. You find, and then Joe doesn't really present himself, but somebody does.
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea of looking at that person and say, okay, look at your list. Look at the person. Oh, wow, if I go with this person, this is exactly my list. And ends up, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start seeing Joe for what he was. He hit five of them, but you realize at that moment you're settling. But you also realize that the ideal of unconditional love, Joe wasn't exactly emotionally available to give you unconditional love, which also points back to you saying, in the process of being with him, you wasn't able to do that either. But when you met this new person, you were able to be yourself, you're able to commit, and you're also able to love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, mm-hmm. also being with this person also enables you to love yourself unconditionally as well. So that's in your best interest. It's like a blessing. It's like blessing everyone in concern. Everybody's getting what they want. And that's the ideal manifestation. Manifestation, to realize it's the one that's really happening, is realize that it's a win-win situation. And there are win-win situations if you allow those things to happen. Or some people call it miracles. But if you sit here and look at a situation where a person, this is one really strong example of looking at somebody and say, okay, if you look at the ideal dating a married man, this can't be the person for you, because first of all, it's not a win-win situation in the way it's presenting itself, because one person's going to get hurt who doesn't even see what's happening here, because if it was, you wouldn't be continue seeing Joe. You know,
mm-hmm.
So you sit and look at the situation, you kind of look at yourself and ask yourself, are you really settling? And realize this married man had hit six or seven of them, but not the whole 10 or 20, whatever it is. I mean, when I sit here and tell people to do lists, I mean, do lists, characteristics of the relationship, but go one step further. What do you want? Do you want to be held? Do you want to be hugged? Are you a person who likes someone clinging on you, who likes that kind of attention? Those are the things you put in your list, too. You also put the situation of this person, you, the kind of house you want to live in, the kind of neighborhood you want to live, you know? And if those things don't pan out, say you get with somebody and you have a neighbor who's constantly causing conflict, there's a lot of signs pointing out that this might not be the scenario or the person you were meant to be with. And it's the idea of realizing that there's still somebody out there. And to love unconditionally and love yourself unconditionally, it's like a realization at that moment. The person you're
right.
with is not the one. And you love yourself unconditionally, or you respect yourself enough to make that decision to go out of the whole thing. But you can also sit down and have a nice little conversation and a realization on both sides of the whole thing of telling the person you're with, I feel like I'm belonging with somebody else, so therefore so do you. So this move on, let's let go of each other so you can be with who you're supposed to be with your significant other, and I can be with mine, so we can both have happiness. It's a different situation as an island we want to hang out on. Because we're scared to go out there in the unknown again.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do that. We really don't. Just face your fears.
Face your fear.
if it's something that's simple, something I've also suggested, because it's like you meet the person, you're going, okay, you should give it some time, because we've got six things going on here. It's hitting the list. We're seeing more and more and more. And I guarantee you, at least give it a couple months, 3 or 4 months sometimes. Then in the process of getting to know that person, we let down our guards, but also we let go of blocks. So we start seeing more of each other. So you're looking at this person going, okay, I don't play golf. But this person plays golf. So what I do, I let down my resistance, and we get closer and closer to the point where the person looks at me and goes, why don't you just go play some golf with me? If you don't like it, we won't do it again. To actually open your mind to say, okay, sure. Maybe you never had the opportunity to even experience golf. You're just kind of making an assumption. I don't like golf from what I've seen. Not realizing seeing it and playing, it's two different things. And all of a sudden you find out something else about yourself that you do like golf. And it's like a chain reaction of finding out more things about yourself because you're with this person. Then you really start seeing the list and you start saying, wow. Not just the ideal compatibility, but in the process of things of sharing your life with somebody and letting down that guard, you start seeing the potential of what real unconditional love is let down the guard to actually experience some things that you never had the opportunity to do. And this person's bringing those opportunities to you. And it's a mutual thing. You're bringing opportunities to this person, too, to experience things about themselves they didn't know either.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever remember maybe the question you're going to call in and ask?
Well, you know, I mean, my real question was about, you know, like employment. For me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's like right around the corner because I have waited long enough.
Right.
And when I say employment, I mean, I kind of got a little list out, you know, about what I want, you know, where I want it as far as the side of town, you know, that type of thing. And I,
right.
you know, continually, you know, apply. I don't think I applied for anything today, but I did look.
Mm-hmm. Well, also with the situation, people have to understand one too. When we talk about intuition and how to actually attract the right mate, so you can do in every part of your life, same energy of finding the career, what do you want to do with your life, that kind of stuff. Same thing here. I was sort of focusing on the whole thing, going, you know, let everything come to you. Be amazed exactly what will happen. Because I just want to work with people and say, okay, save yourself of going out there and walking to all these freaking places and never getting a job. When you can listen to your intuition and walk off and walk to the place and walk away with a job, just like going to the same place, you know? Listen to your intuition. Listen to the angels, the guides. Really get those conversations and that relationship going on. You'd be amazed. Because I was serious. I mean, people were going, do you have a story about that one too? Yes, I do. Because I was sitting there talking and saying, okay, I had a situation where I was living in Daytona Beach. And I was working for one of those spot labor places, right? And I did it. Every morning I would go down at 5:30, 6 o'clock. Every freaking morning, right? And I would take my books. I would sit there and pick a book out I thought would be good for that day just to help me focus and visualize exactly what was going on, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, we had this guy named Joe. It's kind of a coincidence, I guess. Another Joe. So we're all sitting at the table, right? And I'm sitting there reading my book, and everybody starts noting the books I'm reading, and I'm sharing with them, and they're like reading the things in there and some of the affirmations and stuff. And they're like, this is really cool. And it was like two weeks before Christmas. And I thought it was so amazing was Joe was the most negative man ever in my life. He was like,
right.
2 weeks before Christmas and there ain't going to be no jobs and that kind of stuff. No one's going to be hiring or nothing like that. We all basically said to Joe, could you please get up and go to the negative table? And what was so funny about it was as soon as Joe went to the negative table, the guy behind the counter called us all out and sent us out to a hotel to work. And then what happened with me is I started getting really specific of seeing this guy always sending me out all the time to the point where he actually sent me to a landfill where I actually ended up working about 3 or 4 months. Got a steady job out there getting paid every freaking day. And then So I was sitting there looking at the situation going, okay. They started sticking me in this ditch all the time. And out there what you do is basically you're picking up trash that gets away from the landfill because it starts to blow everywhere. So you're out there cleaning it up and that kind of stuff. But they also had this ditch around the they had these big mountains of trash with grass and stuff. It looked like regular mountains or hills.
Right.
And the trash would blow into these ditches. And these ditches were actually what they are is when the trash starts settling, and plastics have a tendency to ooze a chemical as they break down that would go in this ditch. And what was so funny about it, they would tell you, oh, don't worry about that stuff getting on you. And nothing will happen to you. But don't let it get on you. You know, you're like, okay, that's kind of a contradiction. So I started getting cysts under my arms. So I sit there and started freaking out about the situation. I said, okay, God, I think I need a more safer and healthier place to work. But that's all I said. Well, the next thing I know, one day they stopped sending me out there. They sent somebody else in my place. And see, once you start working in these places, as long as you're there every day, they'll send you back out there. Because as long as someone doesn't say anything different,
right,
and you're a good worker, you'll go out there every day. So I was like, what the hell happened, man? They're sending this other guy out there. And what happened with that was I crossed paths with him. He came over to me. And I think the reason we even crossed paths is because where I was living at, I was paying like $270 a week. He came to me and said he had a room where he was at for only $125. So I got that. And the next thing I stopped working out there. Which I was still in contact with him. And I told a friend of mine, I was like, it was so funny too, because I stopped working out there. A couple of days had gone by until I actually like listened to my guide saying, you know, specify exactly what you want. Oh, okay, maybe I haven't done that. So I sat down and did that. I said, I'd like to have a nice job where I work inside, maybe a warehouse. Be great. Where I at least 6 months, 6 months of work. So I went in to grab, like I always did, I went and grabbed one of my spiritual books. And as I opened the book, this card fell out. It was a business card of a job I had applied for when I was living at the other place.
Right.
And at the time I applied for this place, it was a warehouse job of working in a warehouse where they made pieces for displays for sunglasses. Well, when I applied for it, they asked me, you know, what do you want to do? I said, I'd like to work second shift. And we were all geared to go, and all of a sudden they had some orders that didn't come in, so they canceled second shift for a while. So I didn't get that job. But I still had the card. I was using it as a bookmarker. So I went back. So I tell people that I was working at the landfill for up to about 3 or 4 months, and then I hadn't been working for 2 days. And I walked in there and picked that book up, and that card fell out. For some reason, I got this real strange feeling. This was a feeling. It wasn't a voice or something. It was just a feeling to go call that number.
Right.
So I called that number, and I had a job in 20 minutes. I actually went to work that night.
My God.
And I actually worked at that warehouse for about 6 months before I got laid off. I said, maybe I should have said a year. But I know this detailing is very important if, you know, when you specify things, because you'll get exactly what you asked for, and I did, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even saying, okay, guys. But it was one of those things where sometimes things come to an end. It's time to move on. So listen to yourself, the situation. I don't think you're going to get a job in this month. I feel like it's more of a first of the year kind of thing, because what comes to me is the second week in January. But also specify, detail the whole thing. Now, I've had too many things when I talk to people on this show and telling, I've seen a lady who actually sit down and said, I love being a manager, but I don't like working for the company I'm working for. And she said, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down and be very specific and detailed about exactly what kind of job I want. So I want to be a manager. I know that. I don't like working for this company, so therefore, what's my ideal description of that job? And she wrote it down. She even wrote it down to the point where it was like the people she wanted to work with, the kind of environment, everything. I mean, almost like a neighborhood where the freaking company's going to be at, right?
Right.
And I said, this is a lady that was incredible because she did that. And then 2 weeks later, she got two job proposals.
Mm.
Okay? Now, okay. What the miracle was here is she had never applied for those jobs.
Oh, yeah,
so we have to understand that when we put things out there, tell, you know, like when you sit there and when you feel like those are the things you should talk about, not, you shouldn't sit there and gossip about crap that's negative crap that's happened. Start talking about, I sit down and wrote this description out of the kind of job I want, the manager's job, and just tell yourself, I know someone's going to call me, and I'm going to be working in this kind of job. And she was excited about the whole thing and put it out there. And I guess somebody heard about it and recommended her for those jobs. And she got two job proposals. So she even got a choice. Which one do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And she did. You know, it's like hearing about a job proposal. A guy walks in there and goes to a job interview, and, you know, he's got this thing in his mind where he just says, I'm going to be very totally honest with this guy and say, this is what I'm doing. He was actually looking for some work to please his wife. So he'd have a paycheck coming in until he could get the money to start his business.
Right.
Because he had a business that went bankrupt because he had a partner that embezzled a bunch of money, which put him out of business. So he was kind of scared and stuff. So he went. So he finally had to do that because basically his wife left him. He said, okay, I'm going to go down there and do this. But he still walks into the job interview and says, this is the way it is. He said, you might think I'm talking myself out of a job or something like that, but realistically, I won't be here very long. I have all intentions of saving money up. I have all intentions of starting my own business again. And he told him what kind of business was and the whole bit. And he said, this is what it's all about. I'm not really sure I'm qualified for this whole thing. I think I'm more qualified for self-employment and what I've been doing. I've been doing it for so long and that kind of stuff. Just laid it out there. And the guy goes, I've never had anybody come in here before who basically talked himself out of a job. And they were sitting there talking. This guy really had a good attitude. He knew there was everybody out there in the world needs something. And as long as you can put yourself in a position to supply that service, you got it. And if you can do it very well and in a very caring way, you pretty much have taken care of yourself financially for the rest of your life. So he told this guy, was sitting there talking to this guy that owned this company. And the guy in the company owned the company. He's like, very interesting. He said, come over here real quick. I want you to look out the window. I want you to tell me something. He says, what do you see? He says, I see people who need something. And all we have to do is provide that service. And the guy looked at him going, exactly. He said, I've asked that question to so many people. They just look at you and they see buildings, you know. So,
right.
So he looked at the guy and he said, this is kind of interesting how you sit there and look, how you, your attitude and how you look at things.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think we can actually work together. And the guy goes, oh, you're going to give me a job. He said, this is a great job for you. He said, I'm starting a new division, which is actually what your company used to be. We're opening a division here. So what I'm doing, I'm going to give you a position to basically establish and put this new section together.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what the kick is, you have full control, creative, whatever. You do it however you want to do it. So he said, it's like being self-employed, like you own the whole thing, and I want you to do it just like that. Because he said, from what you told me, I have confidence in you that we're really going to be working good together. And he said, what's so good about it is you also get a paycheck every freaking week. So therefore, you please your wife. You're pleasing yourself because you're doing something that you have full creative influence over. And it's like owning your own company. And it was like, it's amazing how he walks into the job interview and tells him exactly what he feels about the whole thing and ends up walking out of taking care of all he wants, needs, and desires, where he feels content that he made a good choice. But he was also trying to be responsible and saying he didn't want to walk into a company and only work for them for 3 months because he knew for a fact they were looking for somebody permanent.
Right.
So he's trying to be responsible, not just himself, but to also these people are looking for something. And in the process of this situation, you can see it's a nice manifestation that everybody, it was a win-win situation.
Right.
So when you put it out there, it's very important to keep the balance of the world going on in the universe if you start dictating exactly what you do want and what you want to do, and just follow your heart on everything you do. You'll see a change, not in yourself and your own life. I guarantee you, being happy, it's going to influence everybody else in your life and be a great motivator for them to do the same thing. It's like a chain reaction.
Right.
The world's going to be in a better light.
Because what I would really like to do, I think, is work in a doctor's office or a hospital, which is totally different from what I've done. I've worked, you know, for mortgage companies most of my life, so, and I would like to do something different and possibly take some online college courses to, you know, help me to move up. But most of the things I've looked at online for the jobs, they want you to have, you know, 1 year of medical, you know, working in a medical facility, so I guess I need to get over that barrier and believe that I can get in without having that 1 year.
All you got to do is sit there and put it out to the universe for the opportunities and the solutions. And then forget everything else as any kind of problem. And I think you're going to really accomplish the things that you're looking for to do. You just got to follow through. When you get that urge or feeling that this is the way to go, then do it. Because sometimes you're going to definitely have some things where it doesn't make any sense to you. Finding solutions. So, well, if you want this, and this, and then you find a loophole where you can actually get through the whole thing and not do it.
Find
the education that you need to get the equivalence. Keep going and keep going forward.
Have you ever read this book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself?
I'll have to check that out.
It's an older book, really.
I have to say, I haven't got that book. I got tons of books, but I don't think I have that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I am going to be on purpose about is getting back into my reading, because I have been off track. I can't say that I've read, but possibly one this year, and that's by Cindy Trim, Commanding Your Morning.
Yeah, we have a lot of those things where you demand, or it's like a intentional
this
affirming.
What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, a national, methodical, incredible, simple program for success and long-lasting change.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have to get that checked out myself, but I tell people all the time myself anyway that nobody or no thing has ever hurt you. It's always that little voice inside of you that you either feed into or you don't. That hurts or doesn't.
Or listening to negative talking people like that guy you was telling them to get up and move to the negative table.
Right. It was funny, too, because as soon as he moved, we got sent out. I kind of looked back at Joe. I said, that's how it works, Joe. See you later.
Right. And so the young lady I was talking to tonight, she was talking about, you know, I mean, how she got laid off and blah, blah, this. And, you know, I mean, I hadn't talked to her in 3 months. And it was like she was still in the same spot.
Yeah, you want to tell people if a person had an arrow on his head or maybe a destination, then you would see it for what it is. This is coming. This is a part of your life that's coming to an end. And it's pointing you in the direction and saying, now you have an opportunity to go do what you want to do. And basically manifest exactly the solution.
Right.
Because it's like tracing it back and saying, okay, you've been complaining all the time. You don't want to be here. Well, now you're not. But also the idea of looking at the situation, we have an affirmation that says, no thing, no person, thing, or condition is my supply. It's the idea of what the source is. The source is basically you affirming it and God and you working together as in co-creation to actually have the life that you want, not what the life you're willing to settle for, which most people tell you that too. I was looking at the time on the freaking clock and I was wanting to get to some other people.
Oh, okay, great.
I didn't want to sit there and brush you off or not like that, but I just wanted to...
No, absolutely not. I enjoyed talking to you and have enjoyed listening to you as well, not only tonight, but in past nights.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, well, like I said before, I feel like something really major is going to come after the first year, but I also feel like timing on that thing could change as much as in just being detailed about exactly what you do want. And the solution is coming to you very quickly because money and situations and people, they're not blocks. They're just motivations to find the solution. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh, you have, and thank you, and you have a great night.
And when I touch base with you by email or whatever, I'm going to put Jayville on there so you'll know who you spoke to.
Okay, cool. I'll look forward to that one.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Don't hang up on me. I'm still listening.
Okay, no problem.
All right.
No problem. Oops. I'm trying to look at the situation and go, oh, that was weird. There we go. Okay, let's go to this one here. Okay, let's try it again. Click. There we go. Area code 917. And actually, 917, the first three numbers of your phone number are actually 705.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I was about to fall asleep for a minute.
I'm really sorry about that.
No, it's all right. It's no problem.
And your name?
Ashiel. I spoke to you before.
Your name is what?
Ashiel.
Ashiel, okay.
Yeah, we spoke before.
Okay. So how can I help you tonight?
I just met somebody about 2 days ago who just approached me when I was at Home Depot.
Uh-huh.
And we exchanged numbers, and I'm just curious, you know, what do you see?
I get the impression of a call.
I'm sorry?
I see that person calling.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I get the impression that you should really focus on going with the flow, but also focus on really getting to know each other and really work on, as I call it, the foundation of the whole thing is being very, very, the more you work on the friendship, the quicker it would actually turn into a relationship.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because it seemed like there was actually a really powerful and intense connection between the two of you.
Really? Wow, that's surprising. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I wasn't sure because, you know, we sent one, you know, we text each other briefly and that was it, you know. But,
mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the situations of realizations of laying down your guard. And sometimes you can, after you do that, you're like, okay, that was pretty intense. And it's not realizing that the intensity was there. Sometimes we have guards up and they have a tendency to block out that the true powerful connection we could experience when we first met each other.
So you think it should start as a friendship, is that what you say?
Yes. Really work on the friendship, because I feel like if you work on the friendship, it'll actually develop very quickly. And in the process of focusing on the friendship, it just seems like you will actually, in the process of really getting to know each other, that actually has a tendency to pull you in to actually let down your guard. So therefore it happens very quickly where you start acting very spontaneously. You stop thinking.
Well, that, I was really surprised because I didn't see that coming. I thought it was just one of those, you know, things that, you know, you see each other, you know, there's an attraction there, but I wasn't, you know.
Well, most of the encounters that people actually meet each other, it's not in dating services. It's like laundromats, Home Depot, grocery stores.
Yeah, I mean, so this is, I live in New York. Sometimes, you know,
you expect. Yes,
people, sometimes you don't keep in touch, you exchange numbers, you don't keep in touch, you know.
Yeah, the energy can drive you crazy because it's kind of like, I've been to New York City and it's like, whoa. You got a lot of positive and negative energy all swirling around. It's kind of hard to really pick up on certain people what's actually going on. But after you let down your guard to see, okay, hey, you know, exchange numbers, start talking, and next thing you're on the phone for 3 hours, you know?
So you really think there's a chance here of that? I'm very surprised. I was about to forget about it. I'm glad you, yeah.
No, I actually get the impression he'll call you and he'll definitely go somewhere, okay? I really do.
Really? Wow. This is somebody that I met 2 days ago.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Should I just, you know, take it slow and take it easy? Is that what you're saying to me?
The way it comes to me is take it easy and be yourself.
Okay, cool. Before I go, I have a health question here. I don't know if you do have, I'm just struggling with a skin condition here and I'm trying to see what can I do. I mean, my angel can give me an insight. Something that I'm allergic to.
It's definitely environmental.
Environmental, okay.
I get the impression it's very environmental. Almost like...
It's funny you said that, wow.
I get the impression it's like, I don't know, you got allergies coming up. And
yeah.
I get it happens in the midst of cleaning, too.
So
do you have carpet?
Do
you have carpet?
No, I don't do anymore. In the workplace, but in my house, I don't have that anymore.
But you did have carpet in your house.
Not in a while, no. It's mostly at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, if you...
So what can I do to take care of it?
I feel like this agent that's bothering you is actually in both places. Mm-hmm.
But because I break out, and it's funny because when I go away sometimes somewhere else where it's like a nice, warmer place, it stops. When I come here and back to the U.S. and I get this issue, so I was... And I have allergies as well, like you said, yeah. I'm doing like homeopathic thing right now, and it's helping a little bit, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things of getting some getting some of those oils. There was one oil, it's really, there's actually two oils. One's called Country Kitchen, and the other one's called Attraction Oil, and they're very sweet smells. One's actually, it's almost like the kitchen smell. That one, what is it? Oh, hold on. It's orange vanilla, and they're actually essential oils that you can put in those little, what do you call those things? They're little bowls that you can heat up.
Okay.
It's actually kind of crazy too, but you can also use it. You can also use incense, and you can also use sage to cleanse your home, and also sage yourself before you go to work. This will cut things down. Yeah, seriously. It's like you're going into certain environments that you have no control over. Is the ideal of there's a thing you can use, and a lot of people do different lights, but the one I usually do the most protection going into places like that is invoking the pink light of asking your angels to surround you with pink light, which protects you from the environment and everything else, but it still allows people who are genuine and loving and who have no harm, just you can still interact with them. Already?
Well, but in terms of this homeopathic thing, do you think I should continue it?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
And I guess you answered my question. I should just pursue this thing, this dating thing that, like you said.
It's one of those things, the phrase I get is let go and have faith. It's like the idea of looking at the situation and go, okay, I got some positive information. So therefore, focus on the outcome of what you'd like to have here, okay, and feel it. And that'll bring things into perspective, bring things into light. I also wanted to say something to everybody. So we have like 60 seconds left in the show. If you're in the queue... If you're in the queue, just stay right there. I'll answer every one of your questions, so don't go nowhere. And also to everybody out there who's listening, thank you for all the people who called in. Thank you for all the donations. Please donate to the show. Keep us going. Donate to my college fund of going to England and going to Arthur Findlay College. I'd appreciate it. And all the donations we get, I say thank you, as always. And it's just one of those things. It's like we're all working together to keep the show going. And... the process of going to college and going to a metaphysical college, I think would just enable me to give back some more again. And that's why I'm always striving to do so. And plus, everybody out there, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And go to my webpage and go to my website, and I'd love to work with each and every one of you. Have a good night, and we'll get back to our callers right now. So, yeah, definitely just continue what you're doing and just let things unfold, okay?
And you said I'm going to get a phone call. Is that what you say?
I get that you're going to get a phone call.
Anytime soon? Next week, you say?
The way it comes to me is very soon. Very, very, very soon.
Okay. All right.
All righty?
I will let you know.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the call. You have a great night and have a great weekend. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Bye-bye now. Okay. Boop. All right. Let's go on to our next caller, which is area code 917.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. And how are you? And welcome to the show.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. And what's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I wanted to know what you saw for me for this New Year's Eve.
It's almost like the idea of looking for a date. What is the chance of that happening?
I'm waiting for some money to come in This woman that I'm working for, I just did a column for her about earlier this month, and I'm waiting for a payment. Do you see her paying me tomorrow morning, like she said?
Yeah, the answer comes to me as yes.
Okay, yeah, because that's why I'm asking, because I can have the money to enjoy New Year's Eve. And
gotcha. No,
yeah.
I understand. I'm just saying, with the situation, I just picked up some thinking about the whole thing about actually, how's it going to go, you know?
Oh, okay. So, how's it going to go?
Well, it's one of those things I always say, go have some fun. Because it's like, am I going to be with anybody or like that? I do get an impression of just going out and have a good time that night. I really don't see as anybody. I don't see, it's like interaction with a lot of people, but no really, as we call them, I don't know if I want to use the word hookup, you know, connections.
No connection.
No, it's just like, no, what I see is I just see you having a great time and connecting with a lot of people. But, you know, just like really a lot of interactions, friends, and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I get, if there's any kind of thing going on where it would be almost like meeting somebody, finding a nice, good, potential significant other. But it seems like it's after New Year's.
How far after?
I got a week.
Oh.
But like I tell everybody else, I want everybody, I see it, but you got to believe it too. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen.
Oh, no, I understand. I was going to ask you, do you see, like, it's someone that I'm actually attracted to? Because it's been, I haven't been feeling the connection to anyone.
Well, so I want you to sit here and look at the situation, too, and get past the physical connection and look for the idea of what you're actually really looking for. And it's like unconditional love has a tendency to happen with the spiritual connection happens first.
Yeah. No, I understand that, but I'm actually not. I've actually been open and meeting people, but when I love to connect by talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not connecting for me at all. Like I'm.
Well, actually, when I pick the thing up, the situation, it's good thing you're not really connecting with a lot of people. So you can actually feel this when it happens, because it's going to be, what's the word? It's going to be undeniable.
Okay.
Well, so you'll definitely awesome. Feel it. It's one of those things where you're going to see somebody and go, it's like when I met Ruth. It was just, when I saw her, sometimes we just really can't find the words or something like that. You just look at him, and I said I would get a shiver at my back where I would just see me spending the rest of my life with her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was, and mm-hmm. when I was talking to you, that was, I saw her face, I saw how I felt when I saw it for the first time. That's what I felt.
Yeah,
and
well,
so,
you're seeing the person and feeling the connection. That's what you're saying. You saw them and you felt a connection.
And I feel like that's what's going to happen with you.
Okay. Because
a lot of people ask me for looks and that kind of stuff. What color?
No,
I
didn't ask about that because
I say white.
Well, I don't know. All I know is it's definitely the energy, you know, like, I mean, I met someone yesterday, but I was trying to actually leave the place I was in when I met them, and I talked to them because I was being nice and I, you know, socializing, but I was like, I gotta get out of here, but this is not what I want, and I told my friend that I was leaving, and that was, you know, because I got to come by, and that was it, like.
That's good.
I know when something feels good and when it doesn't, so, I mean, is this a planned event that I'm going to, or something I hear about, like, I guess, where I'll be going, I guess, the following week?
I get the impression it's going to be something you're going to hear about. So listen intently.
Okay.
Like you said, you know things, and when you get the invitation, you'll know.
Okay.
Gotta go.
Yeah, we're trying to, like, you know, I'm just trying to keep things, do new things and meet a lot of people, and, you know, just trying to do that and just...
Oh, yeah.
Trying to close things for the end of the year.
But yeah, like I tell everybody out there, follow your heart. How does it resonate with you when you meet somebody? Is it in the heart area? When you sit there and look at the situation?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you want to run, but you want to stay there anyway?
Okay.
You know, it's one of those overwhelming feelings, but yeah. If you let it play itself out, it'll feel wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I would sit there and recommend to everybody I would talk to, even, you know, it's like something's coming, something's going to happen. So therefore, to make sure it unfolds the way it's supposed to, it's time to take a look at myself and make sure there's nothing going to interfere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I completely feel that way. Like, I'm trying to make sure I have, you know, my life aspects on track, you know, you know, as far as work. That's why I was like, I need to make sure I get paid so I could go out on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I get that positive feeling that you're definitely going to get paid.
Yeah. I mean, she said I was, and I just wanted to make sure she's keeping her word, you know. And
if you don't, you're going to...
What'd you say?
I'm going to whip you if you don't give me my freaking money.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, we have visions of throwing her across the table. So just try to keep those as a thought, okay?
I know. Well, you have to understand, if you saw, you know, you make somebody wait that long for their money, and then...
Oh, yeah, it gets irritating. You know, you're
saying,
okay, I was sincere and very honest about exactly what I told you and did for you, so therefore some people go, you're not really supposed to expect that. I said, when someone tells me something, I expect him to keep their word. That's the point. I'm not expecting anything in return except for what I deserve. But, you know, I've actually given people, too. I say, hey, you owe me money. I'll let you borrow the money, but I'm going to give you an option. I'll just give it to you. But I guarantee if you come back and say, hey, you're going to pay me back, I think you should honor what you say.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Speaking of that, like, my cousin said, I'm actually trying to find a job right now. And my cousin said she referred me to her boyfriend, and I'm trying to set up a meeting with him. He said Sunday, well, she said maybe Sunday. When is the meeting with this guy? His name starts with, like, an S.
You know, if you start having problems with the situation of actually connecting with this guy,
problems. It's just,
I'm just saying if you do, honor that too as well. If it starts happening where it's just not working out, it's also giving you an idea of how it might actually conflict with your schedule anyway, of what you're really looking for. And that usually dictates that there's something behind that.
Well, he's just helping me find what I'm looking for because he knows a lot of people, so he can connect me to a job. So he's a very well-connected person.
Oh, that's good. So, I'm just saying, with the situation, make sure that's what you want to do. Don't listen to your friend.
No, yeah. I understand.
Great advice. Thank you, friend. I appreciate that. But if I choose to go in a different direction, I hope she honors that, too.
Oh, yeah. She will. She knows better.
That's good. Because I've had some people come back to me and said, you didn't listen to me. I said, no. I listened to you. No. I listened to that person there. I listened to this person. And guess what? Wow, I'm an adult. I took all their advice and made a decision. Which probably didn't go along with anybody, but I also have to listen to my own intuition and my guides, too, as well. And if something doesn't resonate with me, because I've been trying to connect with someone here too lately about working for another company, and it just ain't happening, you know?
Yeah, no.
And I get to the point where it's like there's signs of pointing things out to me to focus on me and my business.
Yeah, that I actually agree with. But do you see me meeting with him at all? Like, what do you see coming out of that?
Yeah, well, the answer comes to me is yes, I do see you meeting with him, and it's one of those things of don't push it.
Okay.
It'll happen.
Well, is it this Sunday? If it's not this Sunday, it'd be fine. I just was curious to see that if it would be.
The way it comes to me is following Sunday. It's not Sunday.
Oh, not this Sunday, the Sunday after. Okay.
It's after. It might not be a Sunday, but it'll be after, and it seems like it's going to be both. And it's going to be a situation that'll be good for both of you. I get the impression he's pretty busy too.
No, he really is. He owns a really big business, and his schedule is insane. So, but that's fine. I don't mind the delay because I feel like it'll work out better. But I was, you know.
Also, tell him if he wants some insights on some business practices or some decisions, give me a call. I've actually done that when I was living in Colorado. It was amazing. I mean, people with businesses came to me to ask me should they move their business, where they should go, and all that kind of stuff. And I try to tell people it's not what you think it is sometimes. When people come to my shop and you're thinking they're taking their last 20 to find out something, and it's not like that. I have a lot of people coming in there who are making well over $100,000 a year. It was interesting too, because I mean, it was, I don't know, it's just fun. I actually had a biker came in my shop, and he's like, how much is it? I said, just give me $25. And this, you know, $25 for 15 minutes. We come in there, I do this reading for him and read him like a book and just, you know, kind of little things here and there. And the guy looked at me and goes, that was the best $25 I ever spent, man. This was cool. And he walked out the door, you know. So, you know, it's really enjoyable when you sit and work with people. we do get kind of crazy with the people who keep asking the same questions over and over again. I just think it's one of those things of getting deeper into the situation of what they're really wanting to know. Maybe it's just not the idea of a boyfriend. Maybe it's the idea of dealing with some fears and that kind of stuff. So, believe me, sometimes you can really get
asking
exhausted
the same
working.
Question over and over. I think it's that they want a different answer.
Well, sometimes I've actually had a couple of those people come in here, and I found out this lady goes, is this guy going to show up? Well, you know, I already told her many, many times he was. But the thing was, she knew it too. What her real question was, how do I deal with him when he does show up? And, you know, she just kept on saying the same question over, because I guess she was comfortable with that question. But sometimes we don't ask the question because we're, that fear says, or the ego says, you don't want to know this. Remember last time you did this and someone gave you the wrong answer? That's the ego. There is no such thing as wrong answers. It's just solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, it's just, I mean, like I said before, I just feel like if you're going to connect with a guy, just got to let it flow. Go with the flow.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the interview goes,
which I forgot his name, Joe.
Oh, I know. Well, no, as far as the interview goes, what do you see that I, like, I guess, you know, it's like a meeting, we're just going to talk and chat. What do you see it's important for me to know or to focus on when I do speak about the kind of work that I want when he asks me stuff?
The only thing that comes to me is real quickly is the idea of being very specific about exactly what you want. Because I feel like with the situation to connect with this guy, you can get what you want.
Mm.
You have to trust that and say, yes, I can.
Okay, so we're definitely, I'm definitely not going to
speak
on Sunday.
I get the impression the more you be yourself, the more you just let down your guard and just go with the flow and then just talk to this person, I get the impression the easier it is to basically be able to convey to him exactly what you're looking for, what you want.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is my cousin going to end up being there with us when I'm talking, or is it just going to be me and him?
I get the impression it's just going to be you and him.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah, I just feel like it's too, like, I don't, you know what it is? It's like, you get, like, an audience.
Oh, yeah,
like,
when you got an audience, it's kind of hard to be yourself.
Especially when you feel like you're being interviewed. You don't want to do that. And I kind of.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, don't treat it like an interview. Treat it like sitting down and talking to your best friend. I feel like that's the best way to approach this. That's what I get to me, too, because that's what came to me. You know, it's a one-on-one kind of thing. And I just feel like the more you let down your guard and let things flow, the more you can convey to him exactly what you want to do. And I just get the impression that the flow continues where he actually does get you what you want.
Alrighty. That's great to hear, because I'm going to actually go after it, because I was like, I need someone to open a door for me. I know I could do the work.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
When do you see me in this type of position or in a position earning a living again? A stable living.
I get the impression you start the week, you start the year off really good. Which you just see a lot of successes in the year. That's just like a start.
Oh, what else do you pick up?
Well, actually, I don't pick up anything except for that's like a tip of the iceberg. It kind of sets off a chain reaction of you getting more specific about exactly what you want, and you're not willing to settle for anything. It's one of those things where you get a, it's like, how do you put this? Like when I remember my first time I really put this manifestation thing to work and got this blue Razor cell phone. From that point on, I started thinking, okay, what can I do now? What's next? You know, what should I focus on this time and this and the other? And also with the situation of my meditations and taking that 2 hours for myself in the mornings, realizing how important it was. That was just from one success,
mm-hmm.
which I actually ended up owning 2 shops.
Hmm.
Also, the situation, people walk in going, $25 for 15 minutes, I don't think it's worth that. I'm like, I do, and this is why. And I held nothing back and said, okay, this is what's going on. You're getting 20 years experience. You're getting guidance and that kind of thing. And a lot of things that would probably take you a couple of months to figure out.
Yeah, that's the truth.
We're going to figure it out for you right now so you can utilize it next week.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
You know,
or to have a person come in and say, wow, you have an answer for everything. And I told her, I was like, are you complaining because I have an answer for everything? And she's like, I guess I am. And I was like, well, that's good. You can actually honestly say that because I have high hopes for you now. You know? Anybody can admit to their mistakes at the moment they happen and say, okay, I guess I'm complaining because you have the answers and that's what I'm here for. So I guess I should stop doing this. And what do you got? You know? And I was like, well, that's good. It only took us 10 minutes to do that. See that realization, how quickly it's changed things to the point where we get those answers, and now we can make some big major changes in your life.
Yep.
I mean, just with me, with the situation, potential, to go from making, I mean, well, when I was out there, the first shop I got, I went from making like two something every 2 weeks to making almost $200 a day. Yep. There were days I was making $100 an hour, and to me, that point was like, that's, you know, because it's like looking at situations like this. We have people who surround us who have a tendency to be very negative because of their own perceptions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my family was the same way. You can't make a living at this.
Yeah.
And then when I was making a living at it, it's like, are you going to sell your soul to the devil?
Yeah,
I was like, I can't win with you people, can I? When I'm not successful, I'm not going to make a living. When I am successful, I'm still a bad person. I was like, forget this. I'm not, you know... It's getting to a point of start saying to yourself, okay, success is what I say it is and what I dictate and what I focus on. When I start getting pulled into other people's perceptions, that's when I start losing track of where I want to be.
Yeah.
Because you're feeding into someone else's perception. They see things differently than you do. Are they being more supportive? So it's the ideal center and go, okay, I need more supportive people in my life, more like-minded people. And actually use that as an affirmation. So you get the support you want. Because, you know, I also feel like when you start supporting yourself, too, and say, okay, this is what I want to do. And, okay, let's sit down and start writing how I can do that. And be amazed what you come up with. All righty?
We agree. Yeah, thank you so much for everything. I appreciate that. You taking the time out to help me.
Oh, no problem. I took so much time with you. Now you have to get a private reading. I'm just kidding. But I was like, hey, come on, man. But I will say to everybody out there, if you want to get one of those private sessions, they're only $33.33 for a 60-minute session. So get a chance. My biggest thing right now is to focus on past lives. It's amazing how a really productive tool it is to check out past lives to figure out why you do certain things now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've had some pretty good ones here. Oh, Lisa, you don't have to call me for a reading, but I would really appreciate if you call me back and give me an update on how things are going with you, because I feel like some major changes are coming after the first of the year.
Oh, I appreciate that. I will definitely let you know. And you just helped me sleep better tonight. Thank you for your guidance.
Oh, you're welcome. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and happy holidays.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ooh. I think I pulled a muscle. See something here. All right. Okay, let's try it. Oh, that was not funny. All right. There's one person in the queue, but it looks like it's a private number. 1111111. If you can hear me, if you were just listening, I didn't mean to bother you. If you want to ask a question, go right ahead. I hear some movement.
Hello?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hi, Danny, I'm doing pretty good.
Who's this? Can I ask, please?
Yes.
You sound familiar.
Yes, Florida girl, Daytona Beach.
Oh, hey, what's up?
A lot now, things are beginning to move forward. Big difference from the last time we talked. I was really just listening, but, you know, I figured, hey, I might as well go ahead and give you the good news that I received this week.
That's good.
Well,
I love to hear good news.
Yeah, I remember last time we talked about this money that I was waiting on, and I got some good news from the lawyer's assistant, I guess she is.
This is about the money.
Yeah. And so she said that she was going to try to get everything done this week, and I asked her what done means, that, like, what is that? And she's explained that the money to divide it and get the checks sent out to all of the family members that it's due to, and she was going to get that done this week. So hope, you know, I'm thinking maybe like next week I should see something in the mail, but I'm not quite sure.
Right.
Because she said the word try. I will try, because what she said was that all 18 people were calling her to figure out what was going on. It's, you know, what the status was, and she was like, you know, that was kind of tough for her.
Okay.
To deal with 18 people calling her all every day, asking her when, and so she said she was going to try to get it done this week. And my feeling was that when she said the word try, it's not necessarily that she was going to get it done this week. That I was going to see anything in the mail this week, but I may see something next week. I don't know. What do you think? And then she couldn't even give me an amount, you know, mine. Percentage or whatever, but you know, so it's kind of like a surprise or whatever.
Oh.
So, I was just wondering what you get from that or whatever. Because, you know, next week the kids went on vacation today, so, and next week is considered Christmas vacation, and if she doesn't get it done next week, then we're going to have to wait till after the holidays, after the first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they're going to go on vacation.
Well, the way it comes to me, it's something that could be something I keep really getting the whole thing. It could definitely work out in your favor, where it'd be really soon. But that's all I could keep getting it soon. It will fall into place very soon. But they're also saying that you need to really focus on the outcome of like a visualization of seeing the check in the mail.
Okay.
This would be a nice week to actually have money come to me in the mail. And use a visualization where you say things like that, but then see it. You know, like a picture of you going out to the mailbox and like, ooh, surprise.
Right.
Even to the point of looking at the thing and going, okay, it's a whole lot more than I thought. Cool.
Wow. Which, of course, is the next question. I'm like, three zeros or four? Not quite clear on that. I mean, my portion, because the overall thing, you know, the overall money that's divided, that's one thing, but then my portion is another, you know?
I would just say, I now have that check in my hand, and it's, I don't know, I've actually done things where I put figures on them and gotten it. Here I am, spending a wonderful weekend, spending the money I just got in the mail today.
Right.
What a beautiful vacation.
I'd like to be able to move into a house, buy a car, pay off some of, you know, my debt. That I've been, my fees and debt that I've been on.
It does say invest in yourself.
Yeah. Okay. And I'd also like to be able to schooling. You know, like if I have to use some finances or whatever. Like if I can, I know the president was, he passed this law where if you have loans that are in default, like it's, you're able to. Because it used to be where if you have loans that you owe and if you're in default, that you cannot get any more government
assistance
with the financial with education, but I heard that there was some kind of law where the president kind of fixed that to where you can now, like if you have homes in the park, you can apply for financial aid and get it, you know. So do you see that me applying for financial aid from the government, even though I have loans that I owe that may be in default, do you see me being able to still get some money for through the government for school?
The way it comes to me is, yes, I do.
Okay. And will I have to, like, jump over hoops and stuff? Cause, or just walk in and get the application and fill it out and turn it in?
That's what I get. Yeah, I deal. I'm not putting a lot of energy into it and just go through the procedure. Just, like you said before, fill it out and submit.
Really?
Because
before I would have had to like maybe jump through hoops, maybe like go through an appeal process first, and all these you know difficult things.
I'm just saying the possibilities. I just keep thinking about when I got my driver's license. I was in Florida, went down to Bradenton, went to the freaking motor vehicles, told the lady my license were suspended, not suspended. I told them they were what they call that expired, and she said, "You sure they're not revoked?" I said, "I'm sure." She said, "Okay, stand up in front of the screen, take your picture," and I walked out with my driver's license. And what was so funny about it was, when I come back up here to Ohio, I found out my license had been revoked for 6 years. So I should have never done that. I got my license, but I do remember when I walked in that place, I said, "I'm walking in here and getting my driver's license and walking out with my driver's license." And that's exactly what I did. I didn't feed into nothing else. I just sit here and say, "Okay, this is my agenda. This is what I need. And if I got these, I'm good to go." And I did. I do have a tendency to focus on things, too, as seeing them in, how would you put this, how it's going to benefit me. So I'm saying to you, when you focus on the agenda of that getting this loan and whatever it is going to benefit me in the process of getting the schooling that I need, don't be surprised what happens. People call you up and say, "Your money's on its way."
And as far as you see me being able to move and get the car and still have, you know, just get everything situated and still have money for it.
You know, it's like looking at the situation and saying that you're going to accomplish those things.
Okay.
So look at it just like that. One thing falling into place, and it's like a chain reaction, like dominoes that falls into place. Dun, 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 dun. And then look back on it later on when someone tries to give you a little piece of reality of why you should have done that. You shouldn't have been able to do that. And you look back on going, it don't matter. All the opportunities fell into place, so therefore I got to take care of everything. And even have a little bit of money so I can actually go do. But it's saying to you, what I was saying before, when it says invest in you first, and that's before any schooling or anything like that. It's just take a percentage of it and invest in yourself. If possible, if it's something you like to do and you feel comfortable with it. I don't know if they have a St. Jude's hospital there or not, but the thing that came to me was just take a $20 bill and send it to a charity and just tell yourself, "I believe the universe is so prosperous that me sending this $20 bill out will do nothing, will actually benefit everyone concerned and me as well." I've actually done that a couple of times where I only have a $20 bill left and I go, "The universe is prosperous," and this is my way of saying, "I know it is, and when I send this out, I'm still very well taken care of." All the money I spend comes back to me tenfold. There's just,
right,
you know, those are the things that come to me. So, you know, try to follow through with those as much as you can. So sometimes when you send a charity and you just do it, what happens is your resistance to the lack of, the feeling makes you want to just open up to the possibilities to be in a position to keep doing that. And it's like that's when doors open up.
Right. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, it doesn't sound like I'm as excited, but I am excited, and I know that I'm gonna be like this. So I gotta put so many. I'm just excited because I like to be able to make things comfortable. Comfortable place to lay my head. A car I don't have to walk anymore, and rain, sleet, or snow with my daughter.
Right.
You know, and it's the thought of getting back on point and getting into school and stuff. It really excites me.
Wow. So. Mm-hmm. That's good. So. Yeah, use that excitement, that feeling to generate and manifest exactly what you're feeling.
Right.
Yeah, to sit there and get a letter in the mail saying you've been approved and here's your check, you know. When you have that kind of certainty about everything, like I said before.
I've been having an issue. I don't mean to cut you off with my daughter's schooling. She missed a lot of days due to me not having transportation or whatever. And I know in the state of Florida it's like, if your child misses a certain amount of days, they forwarded the case to court or something like that. You don't see that happening with the situation. Like, because she's missed a lot of days, you know, it's like, it's affecting her, like, her schoolwork. Her teacher, I guess, considers her to be not on the level that she should be, and it thinks that she may have to be held back. Like, but it's we have 6 more months in the school year, so I'm like, the school standards are so high, you know, they send letters home every day, you know, so you don't see it being an issue with her going to the first grade. I mean, because this is her first year in school, and you know, I just don't, that's another issue. I don't really want to have to have a problem with.
No, see problems.
Okay.
I just see things working out very good. So just keep focusing on that picture itself and you'll see what happens. It's all good. Okay. You still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still here. I'm just talking, and my phone was on mute.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay, what happened?
Yeah, but I had a meeting with them, and I signed a contract saying, you know, she wouldn't miss any more days and all this and so forth. And if she did, it would be forwarded to court and all this. So Lord knows I don't want to be having any more legal issues or stand in court because I've done enough of that about my license. And that was funny you had mentioned your license. Same thing happened to me. Mine was revoked for 5 years. And I got it to where I can get it out of a suspension and get it back reinstated. But then I have fees that if I don't pay those fees, then they're going to re-suspend it again, and I'm scared that that might send me back into another 5 year. You see what I'm saying? So it's like...
Over fees?
Mm-hmm. Court fees.
Oh. That's some crazy stuff, huh?
Right.
Everybody wants money.
Yeah, it's about money. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
But that was possibly, you know, an issue too, that if my license goes back into a suspension, that it would be habitual or whatever. So, but you don't see me have issues with, because you know it's around that time that I'm gonna get the car and I need to get my license. So you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, that's one of those things, like I said before. When I'm saying focus, it means in the process of focusing on the outcome, the solutions to keep you right on that path that you, you know, will work out. So therefore, nothing takes a step backwards.
Okay. And one thing I do know how to do is focus on something that I want.
Really?
And an outcome that I'm a very strong young lady, and I've been going through a lot, and I've just been having to have faith. I'm not positive every day. Sometimes I have really bad negative days. Like I think this week I lost my wallet, and when I retrieved it, my money was gone out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just all kinds of things.
That'll drive you crazy, huh?
Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, I'm just saying, with the situation I pick up, the less you worry, the more it goes your way.
Okay.
Alrighty?
All right. Well, thank you very much. You've been pretty good support for me.
Okay, thanks. Well, thank you very much.
I'll have to book a private reading.
Yes, you will. I need to buy Christmas gifts. Come on.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, give me a call. We'll definitely sit down and talk and see what we can do, okay?
Okay.
No problem. But thank you for calling, and definitely keep in touch and keep us updated on your situation, that kind of stuff. And
okay, I will. Happy holidays,
too. You too. Do they have Christmas trees in Florida? I was just wondering. I know they got pines.
Yeah, you can buy them. Like, they'll have things like set up on the side of the road or like out in the.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right.
Well, you can buy a real one, like a real Christmas tree.
I like the Walmarts down there, too, because they got those self-checkouts open all the time.
Oh, God, and that thing. And when it rained, like, it used to be so dysfunctional at first. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had a mishap down there, too. I always tell people, make sure you get your receipt. Because I was sitting there, and I went in the store to get an extension cord, right? I walked in the store and got everything but the extension cord. And I was halfway outside. I realized that, I didn't get the extension cord. I needed the extension cord. So I walked back in. I went out one door and walked back in the other door on the other side. So I went and got my stuff, but I didn't grab my receipt. And I come out. I got my extension cord, paid for it, and started at the door. And they informed me, says, well, if you don't have a receipt for this stuff, you're going to have to pay for it. I said, I don't think so. It's like almost $70 worth of stuff. I'm not paying those $70 for this again. There has to be another solution. I'm pretty sure you got cameras and all kinds of stuff around here. And I was telling the lady, I said, I'm sorry I didn't grab my receipt, but there has to be some other things going on here, too. We see the cameras everywhere, right? Finally, security came up there, and the guy looked at me like really hard and said, we're going to check the video cameras. But if you didn't pay for this, you're going to go to jail. I said, well, I'll be right here waiting for you to come back and say, we're sorry. And they did, but it was kind of funny, too. I tell people, focus and see a positive outcome. And I saw a positive outcome to the point where not just the security guard actually seen the video and realized I did pay for it when he saw me, but somebody found my receipt.
Wow.
And walked up to me, hammered this, and this one girl said, I just took a notion to go and look in that trash can to see if your receipt in there. And she goes, this is a receipt that says everything you got. So this has to be it. There can't be no coincidence on that one. So it was a very positive outcome, but I'm like getting a little crazy with this stuff. I'm just saying here in Circleville, what happens is at Walmart, the self-checkouts, usually they close those things down at 10. And
right.
They go, so I go in there and they go, what's the problem? I said, I'm sorry, but I got used to going to stores because when I was in Colorado, you walk in those places, and those self-checkouts are open 24/7, just like the stores are. So we have a tendency to get used to that kind of convenience where I can go in the store time I want to. And plus here, if you go to Kroger's, you can go to the self-checkout any time of night, 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't care what time it is. And that's what I'm saying.
Kroger's is like Walmart, right?
What's that?
Kroger's is like another Walmart.
Yeah, Kroger's. They got the Super Kroger's, too.
Okay.
got clothes and food and miscellaneous vitamins and stuff like that. Yeah, it's almost like, yeah, it's the same thing. It's like you start getting to the point where you really go to Walmart because Kroger's has a tendency to take the same products and jack them up. I went to get the fusion drinks, those V8 fusion drinks. At Walmart, you can get them for $2.98. At Kroger's, they're $4.99. They're almost $5 at freaking Kroger's.
Well,
and they're not even close to being $4 at freaking Walmart. So you know where I go.
Right, get the Wally World.
More bang for the buck, but you know, hey. I just look at the food thing. I really go get food there because you really can't. You won't get home and find out your fusion drink doesn't work.
Right. You ever heard of these drinks called Fuse?
Oh, those aren't those like? Don't those like? They're like energy drinks, aren't they?
Sorta, but it's like a natural vitamin potassium drink. Your flavor, they're very, very good.
I probably have heard of them. I just, you know, sometimes I just grab something and drink it. Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah. I got hooked to the strawberry guava drink, and it has vitamin E and A and potassium, things that I need in my body right now.
Oh, it's like those Sobe drinks, right?
Yeah, something like it, yeah.
They got ginseng and stuff. Yeah, they're actually they're saying if you really want to add something to your diet, a really good supplement, ginseng. Take about 400 milligrams, I think it was 400 milligrams of ginseng.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes. Actually, you can take them like twice a day.
Okay.
Strength
and it gives you energy?
Gets you energy, it strengthens your immune system. Some people actually use ginseng to cleanse their system in case they've been doing things they should be.
Yeah.
And things like
well,
that.
No.
But yeah, I was sitting there, we worked for the carnival, and these guys we have a tendency to work some really incredible hours. And ginseng was the one thing that kept me going.
Yeah, it sort of gives you like a natural high or whatever, like a boost of energy without drinking
like
all that.
It's a boost to your, if I'm not mistaken, it also be like a little boost to your memory and a boost to your moods.
Wow. Lord knows I need something like that.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because a lot of the energy drinks, I'm not into it because as soon as you're crashing down, like your energy level.
Crash, you sleep for 2 days.
Yeah, so it's like you want to get something natural.
Yeah, I've actually had to watch those things a couple times too because of headaches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, caffeine is really good for headaches, too.
Yeah, caffeine. I was telling someone before, too, it was a combination of caffeine, it's called Yohimbe bark extract, and what was the other one? I think it's called Aspen, it's another supplement. If you take those three together, that's a great energy booster, and it's all natural. And plus with the ideal Yohimbe bark extract, which is actually a lot of bodybuilders use that to raise their testosterone level. But it's also good for being able to reduce your fat level.
Really?
Yeah, especially around your butt and your abdomen.
Wow, so you can come up with some kind of natural weight loss regimen.
Yeah, if you can find a pill with those in there, that's a good thing too. That's an interesting kind of thing.
What is it called again?
I think it's called aspirin. It's not aspirin, but it's spelled more like an ASP. ASP. Shoot, it's a long. It's like, the word actually. It sounds like aspirin, but it's actually a little bit longer than the word aspirin. It's more of like A's and N and I N. Aspirin. or aspartame.
Oh, okay.
I think it's aspartame. Aspartame, yohimbe bark extract, and caffeine.
Okay. Yeah, because I could stand to lose about 20 more pounds.
Yeah, I always tell people to sit here and try to, you know, make excuses to walk up the stairs or park out pretty far from Walmart and walk into Walmart. It's amazing when you walk into Walmart, it's how it seems like Walmart's always uphill. So take advantage of the whole thing and do that kind of thing. And the one thing that's good, too, is to take a 20-minute walk every day.
Lord knows I've been doing that. A lot of walking.
Yeah, so. I always try to find places where you can actually sit there and maybe you might find a surface where it's like walk a couple blocks and it's pretty flat, and then you find another place to go where there's a little hilly. Always keep changing things up because your body has a really, really adapts very quickly to a lot of things, so you have to keep changing it up.
I see. Well, here in Florida, everything is so flat, so we don't have many hills.
It can drive you crazy, can't it?
Yeah, because when it rains or something like that, it always floods because it's so flat. And the way the houses are built, they're built, like, on the ground.
Yeah, all the water pipes are always above the ground. That's like, wow. I've been down there. I was down there a couple times in Jacksonville when we had the hurricane, so.
What made you want to leave Florida?
My ex-wife's there.
Uh-oh.
She's not there anymore, but I'm just saying I was there in 2006. And then, yeah, no. Well, it was 2006. I was there for a while living in Bradenton. And then I was there, I think about 2 years ago, living in, first I was living in Gulfport in St. Petersburg, and then I went and took Interstate 4 and went across over to Daytona, where I stayed in Daytona for living in Holly Hill. Yeah, lived in Holly Hill for a while, so I've been there. But see, when I was down there, for some reason it was just the notion that I do these things from time to time where I walk out to the highway and say, okay, if I'm supposed to go back to Ohio, I will get a ride. I did this too. I said, I'll get a ride from somebody I know that I used to work with. And sure enough, the very first ride I got was some guy I used to work with in this warehouse, which was actually the last job I had. I was like, that's good enough for me.
Wow. And all the way to Ohio?
Oh, yeah. I got some incredible rides. I mean, it wasn't like the first three rides I got that first one from that one guy. And then it was like 5 or 10. Then I just finally said, okay, God, how about a ride? I mean, a really long ride. You're going to get me out of here.
Wow.
And then I got a ride from this couple, and it was like 150 miles.
Wow.
It's actually a couple couples. And then the last bit of my journey, as I was getting to my mom's house, I actually said, it'd be great to have a ride where this person would drop me off at my mom's house. And my very last ride was a guy, a 72-year-old guy driving a freaking van. And he was going to give me a ride about a mile up the road, and I started talking about Circleville and how close, you know, just like it was right down the road. And the guy looked at me and says, well, how far is this place? I said, well, from where we're at now, probably about no more than an hour. He's like, really? That close, huh? He said, well, it's Sunday. I have nothing to do. And we're having a really good conversation. I like to continue the conversation. So we talked all the way to Circleville, and he dropped me off at my mom's.
Wow.
Because I was just tired. Man, I was like, okay, I got to this one place, and I was just, okay, just get me there so I can go crash. So I did.
Wow, that's pretty courageous.
Mm-hmm.
And scary.
I tell people it's not scary. It's just a lesson of manifestation, right?
Right.
We always get what we want, but it always falls into place where it's what's the best for us. And it seemed like those rides fell into place like they were supposed to, and talked to a couple people here and there. And it was I guess you could look at the situation of an enjoyable journey. But if you ask God for rides, right? If you ask God and angels for rides, and someone pulls over to give you a ride, you should trust what you've asked for will not hurt you.
Right.
That's what I did. So therefore, you know, it takes the fear out of hitchhiking and realize I'm just trying to get, you know, get me from point A to point B and just make it a good journey in harmony. That's exactly what happened. Well, I'm going to actually go here.
All right.
It's one of those things that I just, when we get down to this point, it's almost like I got to go take a nap.
Yeah. By the time I get to you, you're always yawning. Anyway.
Right.
I know you're tired. 2 hour what? Show plus archives.
Exactly. So we're still, you know, record. But like, give us a call and keep in touch. And as soon as you are able to do that reading, let me know. And as always, give us an update on how things are going. And you have a great weekend and happy holidays to you, okay?
Okay, thank you. You too, Sammy.
You're welcome. And thank you for calling. And
good night.
Bye now. Good night. Well, on that note, guys, we're out of here. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern when we do this all over again and do some reading. So if you didn't get in tonight or was thinking about calling and never got the courage to do so, now you can. Call us tomorrow night. We'll be here at 11:30. May God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Give love where love is given. And thank you all for listening, and happy holidays.